Mute up.
Much at night, 9 p.m. Eastern, with John Durash of NationalLibertyAlliance.org. Learn how we the people are holding the system accountable with common law grand juries across the nation. John will be taking questions from the Shake and Wake radio chat room. Or you can Skype or call in. Visit NationalLibertyAlliance.org for more information. Every Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, John Durash of NationalLibertyAlliance.org on ShakeAndWakeRadio.com.
Now, John Durash.
Okay, thank you, Rick. Welcome, everybody, to tonight's program. Good evening, and this is our weekly open forum. Today is Monday, September 8th, 2014. And like usual, we'll start off with a word from the Bible here. We're going to read one chapter here in Proverbs, chapter 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and perverseth the way of his saints, preserveth the way of his saints. Then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they forward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her path unto the dead. None that go on to her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. So discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. All right, we're going to go right to opening up to questions. We don't have anything specific to say this week. We're working on papers, which new papers will be going out. We just haven't been able to get them completed yet, but I think they'll be going out this week. Nothing new has really happened. We haven't heard anything from the courts. Silence could usually be a good thing. But we have had some papers returned. I haven't seen the ones that have been returned yet. But I'm perceiving that those are the ones that are coming from, I was told they were coming from Judges. So they're coming unopened and being returned, I believe. Again, I haven't seen them yet. I'll be seeing them. All of that paperwork will be delivered to me on Thursday. We knew that we had some judges that maybe retired or died or whatever, no longer with the judicial process. And we couldn't discern on which ones were there and which ones were not. So it's pretty presumptuous that those are the ones that are returned because it was in their names and they're no longer in the judicial process. But other than that, it's been silent. Silence often is a good thing. It means they don't know what to do. And again, we have sent papers to all of the district courts and every federal judge that's listed anyway. Almost 2,000 federal judges across the nation, so they've all been put on notice. Tomorrow night, we're going to have a special meeting, and that will be only with the state coordinators to discuss a process and a procedure, how we're going to go forward when we have something to talk about. And we do have a lot to talk about as far as our plan is concerned to go forward. So probably will be a national meeting on Friday where everyone will be invited. For the state coordinators, if they've been out on the website, they've seen that there's only one state coordinator listed out there now. It's the one of the either it's a person who that state has already decided that they wanted this person to be it, or we chose them from our end if nobody on the state level responded from that state for the special meetings, then we chose on our end. We've sent out a couple of emails. We'll send one more reminder for tomorrow night's meeting, and any state that anybody who doesn't want to serve in this capacity, they can go to the other people in the state, get someone else to do it, or whatever they want to do. If the state feels they want to send someone else, that's fine, then they can do that. But we're only allowing one person per state to come into the meeting, and this is for, I guess you'd call it, security reasons. We need to know exactly who's going to be in this meeting. It's by invitation only, and we're going to lock the doors once everybody's in there, so that we can't be infiltrated like we were last time. So that's pretty much where we're at. I think we'll have a lot of news next week, next Monday. Of course, on Thursday, we will have our law open forum, and Saturday we'll have our Bible studies. For those who are attending, those who want to attend, maybe some don't know about it. Also, I'm sure most people know, but just in case, we're being live streamed through Shake and Wake Radio Network. So we're going out through the radio at the same time with our meeting, and we're also broadcasted out also on Thursdays and Saturdays. So 3 days a week we're broadcasted out through the radio. Again, Shake and Wake Radio. It's shakeandwakeradio.com, right, Rick? But anyway, we do have their radio that automatically starts on our Monday page. And if you're calling in and either through the page or through the phone and you're on that page and the radio is playing and you want to get involved in the text chat area, just go up to the radio and click the stop button. And that'll pause it, and this way you'll be able to hear whatever's going on. Now, if you're not going to ask any questions, you can just listen in right there on that radio, right there on the webpage. Just by as soon as it opens, it'll be playing. So if you're not going to ask questions, you could be listening there and into the chat room. You also could be going on to shakeandwakeradio.com. And get into their chat room. You'll hear over there, and you'll be able to get into their chat room. So whichever is convenient, that's good. Shake and Wake Radio is 24/7. The chat room, I believe, is open on all live programs. They do repeat a lot of our programs a couple of times a week, I guess, once or twice or more a day, I guess, or however the schedule is. I haven't seen the schedule. I think they're still working on the schedule. So. And I presume that very soon there'll be a schedule out on the front page, unless it's over there already on shakeandwakeradio.com. Okay, with that, we're going to open up for questions. So anybody who has a question, hit star 6. You'll be put into the queue, and we'll take you as you come in. So let's go to our first caller. H-E-I-L-A, is that Healy? Helia?
Oh, hi, John. This is Sheila in California.
Oh, Sheila. You forgot the S. What happened to your S?
I don't know.
You lost it. It dropped.
Uh-oh. So it just says Hela?
It looks like a Hela to me. Someone have to call you Hela. Anyway, go ahead.
A couple of questions. One, I think we saw on the forum, I don't know if there's any truth to this, but that Terry in Dixie County, Florida was arrested, the foreman.
That's correct. Yes. Can you lower your mic or lower your or turn your speakers away from your mic?
I'm going to put on my headset. How's that?
Good idea.
Sorry, I didn't.
Yes, that's good. I don't know if anybody from Florida is here tonight to talk. I think Roger or Hagen. Gerard, if you can look out there to see if you can find Roger or Hagen, and we'll try to unmute them to get into the specifics. I can't give too much of the specifics, but I can say that what they were trying down there was a little risky, you know. They did indict a prosecutor for jury tampering, and of course that's what set them off. They have no charges. Last I heard, they don't have charges. He's been released, and they still haven't had charges. They don't tell him what the charges are. They're very obscure about what the charges might be, to the best of that I was told so far. And I don't think it's going to go much because they have no real charges on him. They threatened him with an arrest maybe a week or two ago at a meeting, and when they took it to the authorities, and I forget which authority they had taken it to report, and then they were sent to another authority. And in the process of reporting to them, it was pretty much revealed at that meeting that, well, you know, we're just looking for a way to arrest you. They just didn't figure it out yet. And that didn't happen that way, but generally speaking, it has. Again, for the details on that, I have to refer to Roger and or Hagen, who were at most of the meetings and have been involved in all this. But bear in mind, what Terry has done, again, you know, I compliment him for doing what he's done. I suggested that before they did it that, you know, he could get arrested, and they agreed. They knew that, too. Because they're not going to take lightly to taking over the statutory jury, because that's what he did. He took over the statutory jury and turned it into a common law jury. But they do understand the law. They know the codes, and they have nothing, and they're pretty good with the paper writing, and we're going to start, you know, weighing in on this stuff too. But nevertheless, you know, the risk was known. We're not doing anything in that fashion that will get us into that kind of a situation. So nobody has to worry about National Liberty Alliance, our plan, that is, on what we're having people doing. We're not going to put them in a position where they would be arrested. We're very careful in everything we're doing. The key thing that we have done was drawn the line on the fact that we are the common law grand jury. And when you use common law in front of a bar member, they get their feathers ruffled up very quickly, because they have been told, and really they have been brainwashed thoroughly, that common law is no more. And so they immediately get into a battle cry argument with you. Oh, no, that's passé. That we got away with that. We got rid of that a long time ago. And that's their position. And they've talked with us so long in that position, it's too late for them to change that position. They have then separated the venues, our venue from their venue. And they've acknowledged the fact that they're fiction and we're reality. Of course, they don't see it that way, but that's the facts. And what they really are saying, and this is our next message, I think, on the paperwork that's going to go in, what they really are saying, and it's time to really get this into the news, I hope the news picks up on this soon, is that they're saying that the Constitution is now null and void. It's no longer the American thing. People do not have a Constitution anymore.
Hey,
that's
John,
exactly what they're saying. Yes.
I do have an email from Roger. I don't see if he's here. because I don't see his name and I don't know what his number is, if he's here without a number. But here he did
well,
give
a
time.
Well, if he's here, maybe he can get you in on Skype and send a drop a line.
Well, look, I got the timeline of events. He made a big email, and I just read the timeline of events so that we can, you know, that everybody will know where we're at, because he did a pretty good job of.
You're coming in pretty bad, though. Are you coming in on your Skype?
Yeah, why am I? Is it garbled?
Well, you're breaking up, yeah.
Yeah, you are too. I wonder if I should reboot.
Yeah. Well, let me ask Sheila. Sheila, am I breaking up to you, or is Gerard breaking up to you?
Gerard's just a little loud, but he's not breaking up.
Okay, well, let's continue. Go ahead.
You sound like you're breaking up to me, though. You know, I don't know what's going on. I guess they got the hex on us.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I could just go ahead and read it. Whoever hears. I don't know who's hearing good and who's not. Somebody said I'm a little loud, I guess. let me just turn my mic down a little bit. Okay. Anyway, I'll do this quick and I'll get off this. Just so you know what happened with Terry. Terry Russell was selected as the grand jury foreman in Dixie County, Florida for a 6-month term ending October 19, 2014. Terry Russell as grand jury foreman is made aware of criminal activity in Dixie County, Florida. And in accordance with his sworn duty, Terry Russell attempts to notify the foreman of the surrounding grand juries of criminal activity, but is blocked by the clerk of the courts reportedly working with state attorney Sigmeister. Terry Russell, as grand jury foreman, begins the process of convening the Dixie County grand jury. Terry's efforts are met with resistance by the state attorney, Jeffrey A. Stegmeister. During the meeting at the Dixie County grand jury, state attorney Jeffrey A. Stegmeister, among several infraction, allegedly declares, "This is my meeting, this is my grand jury." Terry Russell files a bill of information with the Dixie County clerk of courts, deeming the statutory grand jury of Dixie County comprised and tainted, and I guess everybody knows that. As far as Florida common law state, the people of Dixie meet to elect 25 jurors in accordance with common law. The people's grand jury under common law meet at the Dixie County Courthouse. So you heard that. They turned in their true bill of presentment against the state attorney, Jeffrey Stegmeister, with obstruction of justice and tampering with the jury. And a second true bill presentment named several local and state officials, charging them with bribery and with implementation of Common Core. And then they were interrogated by the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, and that's where they said, "We're going to get them for something." That's what John was referring to. State Attorney Stegmeister retaliates by filing a petition to have Terry Russell removed from the grand jury. Chief Judge Greg Parker, the Third Circuit, Florida, grants Stegmeister's petition and sends Terry a letter informing him his services are no longer needed, and then Terry's arrested and taken to jail September 2nd. They claim that there was 10 felonies that they came up with, and I guess they finally got copies of the charges. I don't know what the specifics are on those are. And, you know, the judge also is in trouble because, you know, he can't really take a jury foreman out for only specific reasons, and so obviously, he was doing felony rescue of the state attorney. So that's where we are now. And I guess Terry has the charges, and they're gonna. And I guess the affidavit that the Florida law enforcement agency wrote in Hagen's opinion, it doesn't support an arrest at all. It doesn't come up with any criminal activity, you know. And they did charge him with what is that? Imitating a legal process or something, that law they have down there, you know. So anyway, it's all you know, trumped up stuff, and they really don't think it'll hold up in court. But again, like Thornton says, there's nothing like ignorance in action. You get corrupt judges, and they just go ahead and roll ahead. The only thing is,
by the way, I think I sound Roger. Let me just check to see. Roger, is this you at the 6844?
Yes, yes, John.
Okay, let's turn it over to Roger and let him explain.
Okay, so I was listening to everything Gerard said, and that's pretty darn accurate. This past weekend, we spent a good deal of time, both Saturday and Sunday, first analyzing the paperwork that came to justify the arrest. and there was a probable cause affidavit from Florida Department of Law Enforcement, which had a serious amount of defects in it, including perjury and others. And then the arrest warrant itself, as well as the judge's order, were also filled with defects, serious defects. In addition, Terry, as a grand jury foreman, has full immunity except for one event, and that is if he, for any reason, breached the constitutional rights of a witness, he then could be removed. But that's the only cause of removal of a grand jury foreman in Florida. So the judge did send the removal letter on the basis of an affidavit from Siegmeister, who is the target of the first true bill, and we've yet to see that affidavit. We did produce the response, and today we went to file the papers in the seat of the circuit court in Perry, Florida, and the papers were delivered to the clerk and asked to be filed, and she said, wait a minute, and she disappeared and went and talked to the judge. She came back and said, I can't file them. So then papers went back to Dixie County Court, clerk of the court, and she said likewise she wouldn't file them. So we're mounting up more and more evidence of unlawful behavior by the establishment, and we have an approach now called, we're calling it Plan B, very sophisticated name, and we'll carry on tomorrow with Plan B and attempt through a different method to get the papers filed. But in essence, the first phase of the effort is to get the charges dropped against Terry. They're all 10 charges are associated with Florida Statute 843.0855, sub 3 and sub 4. And that is all about simulating a legal process, which Terry did not do. He actually operated a real legal process, not a simulated one.
Well, remember, we were exercising the right of the people, and that's the key. This is an unalienable right, and that is the key to this whole thing. By the way, why don't you give me a call tomorrow when you get a chance? I'm going to be out most of the morning. I probably won't be back till noontime. But why don't you give me a call, and we'll get into the details.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, John, I had one other question, and you started to allude to a little bit when you said that...
Wait, hold on 1 minute. Are you finished, Roger?
Say again, please.
Are you finished?
Yes. Yeah, I'm
okay. All right.
Okay. And you
go ahead, Sheila.
Thank you. They said that there is no more constitution, and that was kind of my question, because I'm, you know...
Well, yes. Look at when you speak to a judge, the judge has a duty to respond. He can't decide not to respond. And he certainly can't just throw your stuff away and ignore you. You know, when they do that, it's clear. It is absolutely crystal clear. We made this in one of our papers, not the last paper, but the paper before that. We made it crystal clear that they're at war with the people when they are at war with the Constitution. And the United States Supreme Court has ruled numerous times that when a judge doesn't do his duty and is contrary, either through silence or going against it, holding up something that is repugnant to the Constitution, then that judge is at war with the Constitution. And if he's at war with the Constitution, he's at war with the people. And that was the information, the bill of information we sent in concerning this, that at this point the judges are at war with the people, and they need to step up and do the right thing. Failure to do so puts them into bad behavior and therefore removable from their bench.
Okay. Well, my question is, thank you. I'm a little confused because, you know, apparently there's two constitutions. One that's actually for the people, and the other that's a corporation. And is it true that the judicial officers and all?
We're not aware of the other constitution. I'm not aware of the other constitution. They may have something that I don't concern myself with. What they've tried to do is take our Constitution and change it. And anything after the 10th Amendment, as far as I'm concerned, is null and void, in my opinion. It's either not necessary or it's changed the body of the Constitution, and it's repugnant to the body of the Constitution, and the body of the Constitution can never be changed.
Okay, so what you're saying is, even though that there is a second constitution that is a corp, you know, the United States of America, a corporation, you're just ignoring that completely because
they don't have a constitution. What they have is they have corporate charters. Charters is the legislators making all of these statutes. That's the corporate charter for them and their rules. We don't abide by their rules. We don't consider their rules. We don't concern ourselves with their rules, nor do we concern ourselves with their statutes. Those legislators who have put these statutes up are enemies of the people of the United States of America. They're traitors, so they're anti-American. And any judge who enforces them is the same. They're at war with the people, and that's where we're at. At this point, I think we can say it looks like they're at war with us, and we need to put the pressure on. We do have a plan to put the pressure on, and that plan is going to be discussed very shortly.
Okay. Well, it seems like, you know, some education is necessary because I think, you know, like all the bar attorneys, everybody's indoctrinated into this other system, so they might not even know. I mean, obviously, they don't know what they're really doing.
If they don't know, that's tough luck. They're guilty anyway. You know, I'm sorry I killed somebody. I hated the person, but I didn't realize it was against the law. No, it doesn't matter. They're guilty. Here's the problem. The problem is they're blinded by power and money. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. And so with their lust of power and money, they're willing to give up literally their own mother because that's how these people are. And that's not a joke. That's a pretty sad, sick statement, but it's a fact. They will give up anything so that they don't lose their bar license because they're making huge amounts of money with that bar license. And everyone else is shut out of the system. We don't want to be in their system anyway. We're calling that system a fraud, and we're going back to take our courts back and get rid of the fraud. But nevertheless, they're ignorant. When you start to go and you show them the law, the real law, they're rejecting because they don't want to see it because they know that the whole little world falls apart, that their power falls apart, their money structure, everything they got falls apart, so they don't want to hear it. So when we quote United States Supreme Court rulings, or we use the Constitution, or focus in on anything concerning common law, it's clear. It's just laid down on a paper, very clear. They know it exists, and they want it. They ignore it anyway, by choice. They prefer the lie, because it's more beneficial for them. But they will be destroyed by that lie that they're accepting eventually, because God's judgment is only going to rest so long, and once He's woken to bring His judgment back, it's done for them. So again. That's why I read that verse tonight in Proverbs. Ultimately, it's up to God. He's the one that's going to settle the accounts finally at the end. And it could be sooner than later. That's what we're doing. And that's why I bring up, God's word often in the beginning of our messages, because if we don't acknowledge Him, we'll never get the blessings of liberty. We'll get the curse, which will be no liberty at all. Slavery, which is where we're heading, and we deserve it. We fell asleep. We didn't pay attention, and we got lost in the world. We got lost in all the things of they've been working diligently to enslave us through the educational system, through our churches, through our entertainment system, and we're more interested in playing than dealing with the real things of life. And now we're being woken up. And unless the people wake up and repent of that and turn back to God's law, which is called common law, that's what common law is, God's law. Anybody who doesn't understand that, then they need to go study. It's common law is God's law. It's natural law. It comes straight from the Bible. It's Mosaic law. And that's the only law that you have unless you want the law of men. And look where that's got us. So it was Benjamin Franklin who said, we will be ruled by men, tyrants, or God. Your choice. So if you don't want God in the game, you don't want to acknowledge him, you don't want to bend the knee, you don't want to repent, you don't want to ask him to restore liberty, fine, he's going to curse you then, because certainly he's not going to give you the blessing, and we're going to get more of what we got. So that's where we're at. You know, we're not going to win this battle because of anything we did. We're going to win this battle because God's going to do it. You know, that's what he told to Samuel when Samuel came and told you know, God that the people wanted a king. And he said, they didn't reject you, they rejected me. I'll take care of this business. And he did. So, look, that's where we're at, and that's the reality. And so we need to turn back to God and acknowledge him and do the right thing. That's why we have built everything we've done here on National Liberty Alliance, where people need to develop a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. That's the foundation of righteousness.
Amen to that. Thank you, John. God bless you.
Okay, Sheila, thanks. Okay, let's take our next caller, Anonymous. Go right ahead. Anonymous?
John?
Yes.
John, this is Michael from California.
Hey, Mike. Go ahead. Michael from California, go right ahead. Michael, you there?
John, can you guys hear me?
I can hear you now. Go right ahead.
You're good. I couldn't get the mute off for some reason. I got an email I wanted some clarification on from you or anyone else stating it was from regarding Sheriff Richard Mack and Sheriff's duty to enforce the orders from the people that there's a name referenced, Arnie Rossner.
Uh-huh.
And in the email it states that the sheriff has the duty to actually enforce the laws, and that if they're not being enforced, then they have the right to deputize as many people as they need to. And this is basically referenced. There's a number. Are you familiar with the information, and is that something? Because I called about this.
That has nothing to do with us. We've already established the fact that the sheriffs of the of every county, with the exception of maybe a handful, if that many, we haven't found them yet. Well, I've heard a couple of them, and I presume that they understand. But the sheriffs of the United States are as dumb as a box of rocks. They have no clue what the Constitution says. They wouldn't know that the law is being broken, and they don't. It happens right in front of their eyes every single day, day in and day out. And if their eyes were open and they understood what they were looking at and they understood the Constitution, all of our jails would be full of lawyers and judges. I promise you, that's the facts. But they're too dumb. They don't know. They actually send their deputies over to the court to be goons for these people. So they don't know. The sheriffs are not going to save us. It is true that the sheriff, what Sheriff Mack is doing is a good job, of course. He's trying to open their eyes and make them understand the Constitution if they step up. And he's setting them up for the last line of protection. So when the government comes out after the people, and they will come out soon, I don't think we're too far from that. But when they start lashing out after the people, then it's up to the sheriffs to be obedient and to hold their oath and to protect the people and set their guns towards the government, because they got to protect the people. And so that's what Sheriff Mack is doing. I think that message is kind of getting through to them, and they're realizing, because they know there's something wrong, they just can't figure it out. But when we get into power and authority, that's we being we the people, we're going to make sure that these sheriffs become educated. We're going to require it. They're not going to run for office again. We're going to make sure they lose, and they don't get back into office unless they learn the Constitution. So we've got a course being set up on our website, and they're going to have to come out and take it. And they're going to need to know what the real law is, and we're going to show it to them. And as long as they're willing to do that, that's fine. They'll save their jobs. Other than that, we'll get rid of them. And if they don't want to pay attention when we get into power, and I can't believe there'll be one sheriff that won't pay attention when we're in power, because remember, they're obeying the orders of the court. The orders of the court will be the people's orders of the court. So when they start to obey that, then they'll be on the right track and they'll start learning. If they want to argue with that and deny that, then we'd remove them from power immediately. Because the first person that they arrest unrighteously, unlawfully, then they're going to be arrested instead, and they'll be out of office.
Yeah, well, that was basically my contention, is that we started the common law grand jury, you did, with the county seat as the place of origin, the 3,100-plus counties in the country,
right.
In most of which have, with the exception of Alaska and others, have sheriffs that are elected as the only elected law enforcement officer in the entire United States. And
that's
as
right.
Such, if these grand first the petit juries have been set up, and then you have a grand jury in each state set up, and let's say there is some indictment or something, aren't the people supposed to go to the sheriff to have them arrest somebody? Who the hell are we going to get to arrest anybody if we don't have a sheriff to help us?
Well, of course we need a sheriff to help us. We're looking to save the sheriff's office and educate them. We need educated sheriffs, people who know the Constitution. How dare anyone, and look, I speak to myself first because I was as dumb as they were at one point in time concerning these subject matters, but how dare they raise their hand and say that they swear to protect and uphold the Constitution if they don't know what the Constitution says? How can they do that? You see, that's the problem. And everybody that goes into office does the same thing. They raise and swear because their lust for power and money, because that's what it's all about, power and money, authority and my money. You know, you've got a very strange connection when you go to law enforcement and connect it with and put it together with politics. And that's what you have. You have a political individual in law enforcement, and that's a real strange combination. These people have to learn to become honorable. They have to learn what the word honor means, because they don't know. And even some sheriffs that seem to be good and seem to say the right things, when it comes down to it, we found that they're not very honorable. They talk a good thing, but that's about it. So we got to teach them what honor is. We got to teach them what justice is, and we also got to teach them what mercy is. We got to teach them what the Constitution says, and that's what we're going to do. That's what our job is. That's our duty. And we are starting to move. Our numbers are starting to move a lot quicker on our website now, so we're starting to grow a little quicker, I have noticed. And we do have a huge, huge following of people. You know, we have all 50 states totally constituted, every county. And now it's a matter of, and we're in the federal courts. We've engaged them. And now we're going to put the pressure on them. And that's going to be discussed over the course of the next few weeks.
Hey, John, can you hear me?
Well, John, yes. I don't want to monopolize the call, so I just want to make one final question posed to you regarding that. More to the point, in California, I'm in L.A. County. Los Angeles County's sheriff department was investigated on a sting operation for corruption and for prisoner abuse a year ago, and they indicted over 20 of the deputies. Both the sheriff, Lee Baca, and the undersheriff, Tanaka, were never indicted, and many people were scratching their heads, saying, who are they taking orders from? Why aren't they arresting them? One guy retired, the sheriff retired, the other guy actually ran for election in the runoff election. And so my question is, in California and Nevada, we are unique. In all the 50 states, we are the only two states whose grand juries have a watchdog function written right into our constitutions. If we are setting these up right now, what can we do immediately to make sure that we have something working for us in L.A. County? Because at this point, they're supposed to elect the new sheriff, and unfortunately they got the most votes put in for an LAPD officer, which is not an elected person, to try to replace the other guy. So it sounds like they're shuffling the peas under the shells here. But if we have a watchdog function, how can we set up the common law grand jury right now, or what other way or venue do we have, or what other type of
well, only what we're doing can be done. Only what we're doing can be done. Look, I've had a lot of people. We've been at this a year and 4 months, okay? And believe me, in a year and 4 months, I haven't heard the end of it from people in my ear calling me on the phone, telling me what I need to do and where we got to go. But they're not paying attention to what we're doing. I say, well, look, you know, this is what we got to do first. And once you go out and listen to some of these tapes, and once you go out and read some of this stuff, and then when I talk with them, I find they never did. But they want me to go a certain way. We got to do this. We got to do that. What they're looking to do is do that which is expedient, at the cost of that which is that which is principles. You can't leave principles behind. If you're going to follow through and do it with principles, that's going to take time. Look, at it's the tortoise and the hare, and we just got to keep going on moving, and we're going to get to the end of this race, and as you recall the story, the tortoise does win. You know, it's the same picture. That particular story really was focusing in on the Bible. It appears that God's moving slow and stuff, but he's moving with principle. He's giving us just enough rope to hang ourselves, and it comes to the end, and he's gonna settle all the accounts at the end, because he wins, and I read the end of the book. I saw how it ends. So, you see, we're doing the same thing. We're acting out of principles. We have to be methodical. We have to go to A, B, C, D, all the way until we get to the end of the alphabet, or whatever number sequence you want to add to it. That's what we got to go to, and we got to do it with principles. We have to do it with honor. We have to do the just thing, and that takes time. We're at the point of major pressure to be applied onto these people. We are at that point where I believe it's going to break soon. One way or the other, it's going to break, and that's where we're at finally. But again, a lot of people, they want to move quickly. Nobody can get a grand jury going until we can get access into the courts. And no state judge is going to allow us access into the courts. We've been all the way through the entire New York judicial process system. We've dealt with all of the executive branch judges here in New York. There's 8 of them. And they're responsible.
I understand, John. That's why I brought it up, because we're not... New York or any other state. In California, as I mentioned, in Nevada, we're the only two states that are in their constitution listed as common law grand juries with a watchdog function. There are no others. So in that unique role that we have, aren't
well,
we allowed
we have the
to
same
right
thing.
Now?
We have the same thing. We have the same thing. All courts are to be courts of court of records in New York. That's a requirement. That's in our constitution. Yet we don't have. You can't find one court of record. And also we have the fact that the grand jury will never be. How was that written, Gerard? Do you remember? It's in the constitution that the grand jury
will never be abrogated. And it talks about a common law grand jury in New York. New York has a lot of common law stuff in its law.
Yeah, you got to remember this is. You go ahead.
New York retained a lot of common law stuff because there was a push early on to do away with the grand juries, and there was a group of people that really went and cemented some good laws in place that they haven't gotten rid of yet. So we have a lot of, as a matter of fact, a lot of the 13 original states have a lot of good laws left in them, you know, as far as common law goes. I just wanted to put something in perspective here as far as the sheriffs go, and we've been through this. Look, there are some really good sheriffs out there. I don't want to say, you know, John says they're all dumb box of rocks, but there's some that understand the Constitution. They may not understand common law. I mean, look, there's that sheriff that threw the federal agencies out, and they said, if you don't stand down, we're going to send a SWAT team. And he says, okay, bring it on. I got my own SWAT team. And they stood down. That's a good sheriff. Now, he may not understand everything, but he certainly understands that part of the Constitution that says that he's the top dog and that the federal agencies don't have jurisdiction in his county. And in New York, we have probably 4 or 5 sheriffs that I would consider constitutional. But here's the deal. We went to the sheriff. We went to a local sheriff here. And when one of the elected officials committed crimes, pulled our paperwork out, and we went to fill out a complaint, a sworn affidavit, figuring that, you know, it's not up to him. You know, if you go to the sheriff and I say, Johnny, punch me in the eye and I want him arrested, the sheriff doesn't say, well, I can't do that. The sheriff takes your sworn affidavit, which is the basis of law, and he goes out and he arrests Johnny. Then Johnny has to go to court and defend himself. So that's what we did. We went to see the sheriff, and the sheriff, you know, they gave us a little bit of trouble. They weren't really sure about all this, but as they read our paperwork and they listened to our arguments, and he said, well, I can see you have a case. He said, but listen, he said, I have to take this to the prosecutor. He said, look, this is a public official. I don't have the subpoena powers to investigate this. It gets investigated by the prosecutor. So I could take your complaint, but ultimately it's going to go into the prosecutor. So he said, why don't you take this up and see the prosecutor? Well, wasn't that an eye-opening trip? Because the prosecutor was clearly tainted, knew we were coming, only wanted to hold up to the statutes in the book, and really was not forthcoming, you know, claiming that that's the only thing that he could uphold, which is a lie. You know, there's a dereliction of duty and all other kinds of things that doesn't have a statutory number to it. And there's also federal codes that he can enforce, whether he says he doesn't. So what we realized was, is look, if that sheriff would have went out and arrested that clerk, that prosecutor would have took that case and threw it in the garbage, and that sheriff would have committed political suicide. We can't expect our sheriffs to go out and arrest judges or other political figures when they don't have the people behind them. Look, there's a statute in New York that says that the governor can remove a sheriff from office for not obeying the law that he puts in. Now, we have an unconstitutional law against gun called the SAFE Act, and our governor has said that he'll pull any sheriff out. He hasn't done it yet. I mean, some of them have come out and said, well, go ahead and do it. But if they know that they got a grand jury behind them, then the governor is impotent because, look, he doesn't get denied due process. So if you have a grand jury that's not a puppet grand jury and the governor does some crap like that, the grand jury is going to go, not guilty. These sheriffs, these constitutional sheriffs that are out there and these constitutional judges that are out there, I think that they have been waiting for a massive movement of the people. You can't expect them to put their life, liberty, prosperity, families, because look, they'll kill, they won't kill these judges, they'll kill people in their families. Until they see a mass movement of people that stick together and put their heads up and scream and write letters and do what we're doing, like, and filing papers in the court, you know, we're going to get the attention of not only the sheriffs, we're going to get the attention of everybody, including the Joint Chiefs of Staffs and the Provost Marshals and all those other people who are in authority to arrest public officials committing treason. Right now, they don't want to do it because they'll turn around and arrest them. They'll steamroll them. So we need to build a tsunami of people coming in so that the sheriffs can at least feel like they got support going in there, and they don't go charging up that hill with their sword out, and they turn around and nobody's behind them. And believe me, I've seen that happen. I was in politics. They'll send you up a hill, and then when you turn around looking for your supporters, they're nowhere to be found. So this is what our job is. Look, we keep doing the prudent thing, like John says. Look, everything we're doing is constitutional and lawful. They can't answer us. That's why they don't. They will not have an open discussion in open court, in a constitutional court. They want to suck us into their corporate courts, and we have not been sucked into their corporate courts because if they had, they would have arrested us and they would have closed us down. We have done the dance, and we have not allowed them to suck us into some quasi, you know, court thing, and that's been by virtue of being very, very careful about what we file and how we say it. Look, we put in a paper. We actually bought we went in with a docket number into the federal court, and he came back and said, oh, you got to pay $400 because you're an entity, you're a group, you're this, you're that. And we came back and said, no, we're not an entity, we're not a group, and we're not. And this is not a case. This is not an action. This is the grand jury coming in as a tribunal, the people, the flesh and blood people. And by the way, we didn't file the case as DNLA. The NLA the NLA is just an organization that's a teaching group. Its name isn't on any legal papers. We have not morphed everybody into a group or an entity or anything. We're coming in as the people under the common law through the jury process. We are the tribunal. Now, if it's necessary for us to get into the court and to get a number in order to file the complaint, that's what we decided to do. Well, you see, they don't want to hear us. And because we didn't lay down and come in, I mean, even calling yourself pro se can suck you in. He called us pro se, and we slapped him. We said, we're not pro se. We didn't say that. So look, we know what we're doing because we've been playing with this for quite a while. We're not going to get sucked into their word magic. We understand all the stuff about the Lieber Code and the Wars Powers Act and all that baloney. You know what that baloney is? That's so that they can sleep at night because it makes them feel good. That's so that when the people finally do rise up, they got a piece of paper to point at to say, well, look, we changed it in the law. Well, no, that's not the law. That's your corporate charter. You see? So look at Hitler. He changed the laws when he came in because why did they bother? Why did they bother? Because they need to make themselves feel official. They need to have a paper with a number and it's something that they can point to and say it's the law. Well, the paper that we're grabbing and we're pointing to is the Constitution. And George Bush said, he said, that's just a GD piece of paper. And he's right. It is just a GD piece of paper until somebody picks it up in one hand and points to it, has a gun in the other hand, maybe. You know, we're the people, and that's our contract with you, and that's what we're holding you to. And that's where we're at. We're holding that contract in their face, and we're holding them to the strictest sense of the law. Never mind what is the meaning of is. We already know what the meaning is. And that's what we're telling them. And that's why they're scared, because they know that they can't answer us in an open court, in an open discussion under the law. Never mind your fancy word magic games. We're talking about under the law. And we'll meet anybody in an open court. As long as it's a lawful, constitutional court, we will put paperwork in, and they need to answer that paperwork. And listen, let's have a discussion. They can't have a discussion because they're liars. And that's where we're at. And when enough people, when the thing finally comes to a boiling point, it's simmering, the pot's simmering, the bubbles are coming up. When it comes to a boiling point, those sheriffs and everything else that we need will be able to engage, and the sheriff can go ahead and deputize if he needs to. But that's like the last step. Look at, we want to try to avoid that if we can. You know, if the sheriff's out there deputizing people, you're talking about a revolution. And I fear a revolution because, look, liberty lost is never regained. We have to try to do the war of the pen because I don't want to lose
well, I don't
any
know if
it's
a revolution, Gerard. Sheriff O'Pyle's been doing it for years, and he has posses, and he's not creating a revolution. He's just
well, how many judges did he arrest? Let me ask you.
His own jurisdiction. They have a jurisdiction. I agree with you and John. John brought up the constitutional law of the constitutional sheriff. My point is you have state constitution, you have federal constitution. So if the guy's telling me over the phone who was rated as the number one constitutional sheriff in the United States by the Gun Owners of America, a Mendocino County sheriff, I called the guy, I talked to him. I said, can you enforce federal law? He says, no. We like that. We don't want to have to enforce federal law, and they don't get to tell us what to do in the state.
Well, you see, he didn't understand
that's kind
that
of
thing.
Interesting.
He didn't,
is that
he didn't
true or not, John?
That. No, he didn't understand
true.
That.
He has to
hold up federal law. Look at, he's the one who raised his hand and
that's
swore
what I thought.
To obey and uphold the Constitution of the for the United States of America. That's federal
Thank
law.
You very
that,
much.
That's the law of the land. And the law
yes,
of the
see,
land,
that's
Article
the education
6.
Process. That's
Article
the education
6.
Process.
Article 6, paragraph 2, says that the law of the land is this Constitution and all the laws that are made through this Constitution. And every judge everywhere is bound to obey it, and that includes the sheriff. So look, that's what the Bar Association has taught these cops and the sheriffs and everybody. They've taught these people that, and they're lies. Their whole system is a lie.
The
only way they're able to pull this off is because they control
the
courts.
The Supremacy Clause puts that to bed. Any law that's in any state that you're entitled to. And the checks and balances of powers, every state had to conform to the federal constitution before they became a state. Now, yes, the federal doesn't get into the nitty-gritty of the state, but the federal's job is when the state doesn't conform, that's their job to come down and make sure they conform. And it's vice versa. It works both ways. The states are sovereign too. And you know, look at you're a sovereign person because you have rights under God. Well, look at your kingdom ends where mine begins. You come in and step on my toe, now you've violated my sovereignty, right? And it's the same thing between the federal and the state governments. And that whole statement about I can't enforce federal law, you know what that ends up distilling down to? People that we've had on here that I've had numerous discussions with, they go, oh, that the Bill of Rights is only counts on the federal level, not on the state. I never heard anything more ridiculous in my life. The Bill of Rights doesn't count on the state level. Have you heard that?
That's what the Hurtado decision said, that you don't have a right at the state for a grand jury. That only applies to federal. That's what Hurtado's ruling was in the 1840s or 50s.
Well,
that's
there's the lie. And we'll show you there is in the law and the United States Supreme Court rulings. And that's where the fight is.
Legal
precedence
does not change constitutional
law. They conjoined
it
with the 14th Amendment and said the states don't get that. Only the federal gets that. That's Hurtado's ruling. All right, so you got the sheriffs now getting the word magic confused, and they're confused. But with all the stuff going on right now that we have to deal with, you're doing everything I know that you guys can do. What is it that we need to do, number one, since, as I mentioned, in our powers that we have to be right now that are going to be reelected here as sheriffs, either way, what are we doing right now that we need to do the most in these states?
You're going to find out very soon.
Are we just waiting on you guys in New York? Or
we're waiting. Well, look, we were starting something last week, and we got infiltrated. We're fixing that, and it'll be coming soon, and you'll be hearing about it, okay?
Yeah, it's not it's not just New York. This is now we filed for, you know, in
yeah,
the federal court.
Every state is going to get active.
Right.
And if we don't have a state coordinator that's able to coordinate this, because it's all about coordinating. The state coordinator does not have to understand common law. They could be learning just like most of us. They don't have to understand court process. They could be learning just like the rest of us. Look, it's all about organizing, getting people involved, pulling them together, and then take them into the training process, which we're going to set up. That's what it's all about. And each state has got to come along with our plan and get moving on it. And whatever we file, we're going to file across the entire United States from 50 positions plus one. 50 positions mean one from each state, plus one means the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. And we're going to bombard them and hit them and hit them and hit them with paperwork after paperwork after paperwork until they can't take no more. Meanwhile, hopefully at some point, we'll find a newspaper reporter who's not a traitor. Look, at the news is derelict of duty. They're protected by the First Amendment, and yet they are not exercising their authority and their duty. Actually, they have a duty. That's why they receive special power from the First Amendment, and they are missing in action. And I promise that when we get in power, when the people get in power and take back the system, I promise I will not rest until I can see all of the major news medias disband and those licenses sold to other people, people who are going to step up and do the right thing. Because they're all traitors out there, every single one of them. They're not running any of these stories that we're doing. We've sent out to over 800 medias numerous times, and they've never run one story, okay? Not one. And they're not interested in the truth. They're interested in power and the power of money and the power of authority. That's all they're interested in, and that's what they got. So they've sold their souls to the devil, and they're going to pay for it. They're going to pay for it. When the people find out, believe me, they're going to pay for it. They're not going to look to it too kindly when they go into court and have to sit before that jury, and that jury is going to decide what the end results of that human being is going to be. I certainly wouldn't have any mercy, but I'm not going to be sitting in that box because I'm involved from the other end. I can't. Just like anybody else who's an administrator, we're just administrating to the process at some point. Until then, we are the grand jury. But,
hey, John, we have a question.
Well, John,
from the chat.
I'm going to mute myself so others can get on the call. Thank you for answering my questions.
Thank you. Yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, they're wondering if the system is so corrupt, how will you ever get into the courts?
Well, that's the process. We go beyond the courts. We're coming in filing two bills as a grand jury. We don't go to court. We order the court, and that's what a grand jury does. When a grand jury writes a true bill, it's a writ of mandamus, and every time they deny or ignore that writ of mandamus, that's contempt of the true court of the land, which is the people, the jury itself. And the penalty of that could be pretty severe, especially when it gets to the point that they're working together with other groups, other lawyers, you know, other judges particularly. It now becomes a conspiracy, and they're at war with the people, and now that's high treason. High treason because it's against the king himself and the king of the people. People are the king. So that's high treason. High treason has a very stiff penalty.
See, we're using a process. We're using the process of the courts. Nobody's done this before. They've never pulled papers out of court. You know, you put your papers in, they go into a process. And that's what we're fighting, you know what I mean? And any time they pull them out of that process, they break the law. And That's a pretty simple thing to understand. You know, there's no word magic there or anything. You know, when they pull papers out, they send them back. They broke the law and they committed mail fraud, and that one act alone under mail fraud's worth 20 years. So
even United States versus Williams, Scalia mentions that very specifically. It goes into the process, must go through the judicial process. Can't take it out.
So I think the advantage to what we're doing is if you listen to what we're doing and you listen to how we're working this process, that's something that the sheriffs can understand. Look, at even that sheriff that thinks that he can't enforce federal law, if he listens to what we're doing and listens to the papers that we put out, he'll get it. He'll get it real quick. And it's kind of very, look, at common law is common sense. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, common sense is, unfortunately, is uncommon. But you hope that people that are getting to be elected to be sheriff will understand that they're the top cop and they got to have common sense about when the law is broken. And if we can go out and get the word out and enough people come out to give them courage, I think it will end up letting that thing come to fruition. However long that's going to take, I don't think it's going to take too long, because I think, you know, we're at a point where everything is sort of bubbling. You know what I mean? Things are moving pretty fast from what I can see. As a matter of fact, I got a fear of success, because when we do get in there, we're going to have an awful lot of work that we got to do. And that's what John's concern is, of making sure that we have, you know, these people in every state that are articulate and understand and can put into action the plan. And that's all you need. You need some leaders that can direct the people and get the thing going. Because look, you can't have a couple, three people running around taking care of all the problems in the nation. People have to step up to the plate. And we have a lot of good people that don't even know about us that will take to this like a fish to water. You know, I mean, look at, we got a lot of great people out. Even Sheriff Mack, I mean, he's going to get it. He's going to get what we're doing, you know. You got people teaching constitutional courses like Bagnarek. He has no idea who we are or what we're doing. But people that are of that caliber will get this. And really, those are the people we need. I mean, you don't need a massive amount of people. We need a quality amount of people. We need enough quality. We're like the Marines. We need a few good men that will get up.
We've established about 6 people per state. Of course, 20 people per state is far better. 30 people is even better. But 6 people per state. Now, we're presuming we have a lot more than that. I mean, New York alone, we have over 300 people. Florida has over 300 people also in their states alone. So we have plenty of people in the state to do the process that we have to do. 6, 12, 18, 24. We need 250 people, roughly speaking, here in New York State to take every county over. We have over 300, and also we have more than 6 people in New York that are focused and ready to go at any time. We give a call, they show up. So, you know, we probably have a dozen people at least, maybe, and actually, you know, the real call goes out, we'll probably get 40 or 50 people easily to jump right on. Whenever we call for a meeting in New York, we always have 60, 80, 100 people, whenever we, you know, a serious meeting. And you know, our regular meetings may not be that way, maybe 12 to 20 like most states, but when the serious call goes out, they show up. And that's what we need. We need the serious people to show up, but we need 6 people to lead. 6 people to understand exactly what needs to be done, and that can teach the other people and help the other people. And of course, when they can't answer a question or something or a situation, they just send it up line to us, and we'll work with them on it. And if we don't have the answer, we'll get it. But we'll deal with the solutions.
And I want to clarify one other thing too. You look at when being articulate means 3 different things. When you are articulate, it doesn't just mean being able to talk about it. You can be articulate because you can articulate like I'm doing right now, or you can be articulate because you can write papers. That's a different way of articulating a plan, is being able to put it down on paper. Being articulate would be being a person who can implement that plan. He's also considered articulate. So what's going to happen is, we need to get all 3 of those types of people working together. Look at our forefathers. Who was it that was a great writer, but he couldn't talk? Was that Jefferson?
Jefferson. Jefferson was not a speaker, and he had a very low voice, very soft spoken.
Yeah. And but yet he wrote papers. My goodness, you read his works. They're one. If it wasn't for him, America wouldn't be America. But he couldn't. He didn't get up on a podium and do very well. But his pen was very well. So you need to recognize the different talents of people in your state, and then you need to let those people do where they are good, and foster them and bring them along. When you find them, you need to let them grow in that and do that. And like John says, you know, look, we could do it. Six people would be fine. You could run the whole state. It's not that big of a learning curve, really. You know what I mean? Because it's common sense, usually, most of it. And we're going to have a real, real good database on questions and answers. Of, you know what I mean? Once you get the fundamentals down, it starts to grow in your intellect, and it just starts to come naturally. It's really a growing process, and it will come, like they say, when the student is ready, the teacher appears, and you never stop learning. I have never stopped learning yet since I've been in this endeavor. I always learn, and look at, we correct ourselves. How many times do we correct ourselves? You know, and most of the time, thank God, you know, when we needed to correct ourselves, somehow, some way, it was turned in our favor, even the mistakes we made. So that's how I know we're on the right path, because sometimes even our blunders come out in our favor. So I'm hoping that that will continue, that we have a protecting hand over us, allowing us to do these things. And I believe that's because we're doing the right thing. Anyway, I'm going to yield now.
Right. Yeah, NLA's biggest enemy and problem from within is ignorance. We don't have the knowledge of how things work, and that's what we're trying to teach everybody, on how things really work. We are plagued with poison from other websites, and believe me, I was poisoned by the same websites going on and exercising and doing different things and filing different papers and the thumbprint, and I mean, just going on and on and on and on. And all they did was really have us chasing their tails. They're probably laughing at us. I wouldn't doubt that they weren't responsible for getting all of that kind of stuff going on these websites. But a lot of people, they just repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. And anybody who thinks that I'm wrong in these things, by all means, come to our Thursday night program. We discuss the law, and we'll get into those details, and I'll show you how those things have nothing to do with anything we're doing. Look at, fraud is a fraud. You can't change that. It's a fraud. Their whole system is fiction. It's a fraud. You know, you can't change the meaning of a word. They've done that, and they have us chasing our tails believing in that, and we try to not use those words and try to say something in a strange way so that we don't, and we're trying to get standing. And guess what? They sit up there and they laugh at us, and they wait till you get to the end, and then they rule you to throw you out of court because you don't have standing anyway. You don't get through the system that way. All you did by making that argument is give them jurisdiction and give them reality. When they're a fiction, no, they're a fraud, they're criminals, they belong in jail, and that's how we need to talk to them about that. We don't use necessarily the jail part in our papers, but they know what we're talking about. They're criminals. There's criminal activities going. This is criminal, this is organized crime on steroids. I'm telling you, this is RICO. This is the expression of RICO is what we're dealing with right now. This is RICO at its best, and that's what we're up against. Nevertheless, the poison is a major, major problem, and just the ignorance to the process and how it works. So we're going to teach everybody that, and they have to understand and start to be ready to put away some of this stuff that really is damaging to us. It's not going to help us. So let me go on to the next caller. Andrew, you've been unmuted. Go right ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me, John?
We can hear you good. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, just one thing I wanted to bring up that I've been seeing. I saw a news broadcast clip from YouTube where someone had posted a news interview about the, quote, sovereign citizens or sovereign rights. And a couple of people, or there's some groups out there, and I say this time from time, every group you had, you've got your fanatic radical nuts. You got your crazies out there that take the stuff and go to the far extreme. And yes, in the group, I have seen people promote violence, saying that, yeah, we need to promote our common law and our sovereign rights, and we need to do enforce. And one guy said, I quote, anytime I see a cop abusing his power, I'll shoot him right in the head. And then I quickly responded, that is not the answer. You're stooping to their level. You deal with him you know, on the right track. You don't, there's no way to solve violence like that with violence. Look at the riots in Missouri. One violent act was portrayed and deemed upon other violent acts against other innocent people. That's not a way to solve this. I mean, acts like that will only further hurt what we're trying to do. And I spoke to you about this earlier, that people promoting violence or wanting to take a violent hand towards things will only hurt us in the year and a half work you've put into this. And it's not the way to go.
Sometimes those people are provocateurs. They're them. These ABC agencies, they put in people to do that. And so just beware of that. And anytime anybody gets real uppity like that and says things like that, you got to watch them because they may be working for the other side.
And then there's the other people that listen to them and just go off of it because they think it's a good idea. Because you get these people that are so, I'll put it this way, I was in service for so long, and when I first seen all this corruption and I got out of the military, I was pissed. I thought, okay, yeah, there's a civil war coming. Now, that's true. There very well could be a civil war coming, and what we're doing with the NLA teaching people is the only peaceful, non-bloodshedding way I have found in order to do what we're doing without a civil war or mass bloodshed. And I know that's what they're waiting for. Occupy Wall Street, same thing. They send people in to provoke violence so the police can come in and remove those people off their peaceful demonstration when it turned violent because of one or two individuals that were placed there. And reports have come out that Department of Justice had actually paid people to go to that Missouri riots and instigated all that violence. And that's what caused those riots for like 2 or 3 weeks ahead and gave them an excuse to use their militarized police. Now, if you get groups across the nation, let's say 15 people in one group, and you spread those groups out throughout the nation and they just start acting, that could cause some serious, serious issues, and that's what people need to watch out for, those issues like that. Because then they can start declaring martial law, then they can start bringing in those militarized police vehicles and everything.
Right. Yeah,
and
well,
that's their
tactics, and that's a Nazi tactic. It's a Marxist tactic. It's the way they take over a nation. We're at that point. That's where we're at with them making those moves because they're ready to bring the hammer down, and that's why we have to really get serious. And there's no more time. And I want to tell you something. Anybody that's hearing my voice anywhere, because we have this on audio, and people hear from they come and play the audio. And also we're going through the radio and any other place they're listening from. The only way that America is going to be saved is the people do it. Only the people can save America. Now is the time to stand up. Now is the time. Tomorrow I'm going on a national radio program, and that's going to be the main part of the message. Now is the time. There's never been a more potent time to get up and take this country back than right now. We are poised for that. All we need is the people behind us. If we get a big enough influx of people moving behind us in one accord, believe me, we're going to break through them, and they're going to break away from it, and we will succeed. So now is the time to get involved. Now on our website, we've already addressed this particular problem. And we wrote how we wrote a message to the law enforcement. It's right on our website on the top right side. Very shortly, we've almost reached our goal. We're at 80% of our goal. When that disappears, this is going to go up to the top. I might even put it above the how many states we have constituted, because we have two very important files, I guess you'd call it. One is an MP3 and the other one's a PDF. And the MP3 is how to address the FBI. And the message, the PDF is a message to law enforcement. So when they go on our website, they need to click on that. And so anybody that's in law enforcement that's on our website, make sure you click on that, because that tells you exactly who we are. They have been taught that these groups called Sovereign Citizens, which is a name coined to a group of individual, a father and son, I think it was back in 2010, shot a police officer. And then they ended up getting killed. And that whole movement was called the Sovereign Citizen. And anybody that goes up against the powers that be, the Tea Party and all of it. The first thing they do is they call us a sovereign citizen. We've been investigated three times by the FBI, and three times when they came out in three different areas, three different counties, so I think it was four. And each time they came out, the very first question was, you're the sovereign citizen. You belong to the sovereign citizen group. They try to pin that on us immediately. I had the Treasury Department come down on me once recently, about 6 months, 8 months ago. And they came to interview me. And that was the first question they asked me about being a sovereign citizen. We've heard from other people in other places, same thing. When the guy who does the thing on the FBI, when they came to him, that was the first question. So they are trained with that. They're trained to ask you and to refer to you and actually pin on you this title called sovereign citizen. And so anyway, we do have a on page 2 of our PDF. It's a 5-page letter to the FBI, and on page 2 it asks the question: Are we the people a danger to America? And the answer to that, I wrote, is certainly not. We are not sovereign citizens. We are just the people from across the nation, from every state in America, and from every walk of life. We are your parents, your sons and your daughters, your neighbors. We are your teachers, your students. We are you. We are Americans. We are America's only hope to save the republic without bloodshed. We are bound by the law of the land, the U.S. Constitution, Article 6, and are only a threat to those in power that are breaking the law, those elected and appointed officials that are sending law enforcement agents out to find statute breaking by we the people are in most cases, not all, abusing their authority and want we the people prevented from participating in the judicial process because they are hiding crimes. To those people, we are a danger because when we find out their criminal activities, we will report it to the court and to you, and we expect that you will then do your job. We have no intentions of making citizens' arrests or filing commercial liens or doing anything unlawful. Law enforcement took an oath to serve the people. Our question to you is, will you? So that was the part of this particular letter to IRS. And like I said, it's 5 pages. People should go up and read this. Maybe one day when we don't have anything to read, like today we didn't have anything to read, so we probably should have read this. But we'll read this one day over the air. But right now people can go up to nationallibertyalliance.org on the top right-hand side, right underneath the 50 states constituted, 33,134 counties. We have how to address the FBI and message to law enforcement. So there it is. We're not about violence. And anybody anywhere that sees that people are trying to connect that to us needs to correct that immediately in writing or however it is that you're getting it. And even if they're leaning it towards NLA or the common law grand juries, you need to let us know right away so that we can do a, retract what, what did we call that? We do a
disclaimer,
right. We do have two disclaimers up there right now. One on some hybrid papers that somebody that was once connected with us and we disconnected them from us because they went and did exactly what we told them not to do. We told them he could do whatever he wants with any group of people they want, but just don't connect NLA to us and don't use our names. But he went out in our name and he caused a lot of problems, and I believe that guy is going to go to jail. The other thing is we have a disclaimer from a press release when someone called for violence and different things of that nature concerning now is the time to do violence. It wasn't written particularly that way, but that was the essence of the paper that was written. And it was connected directly to us, directly to NLA, as if it was coming from us. And we had to squash that as quick as possible, and we put up a disclaimer on the website, and it still sits there. And it'll probably remain there because we have nothing to do with those things. They're not going to come out and call us sovereign citizens. I mean, we are sovereign citizens, to be truthful, but they've coined a meaning to that. And the meaning that they have and the meaning that they understand, we're not going to try to make them understand the true meaning of those words right now. Okay, we will very soon. When we get in power, we will make them understand the true meanings of those words. But that's what commies do, and that's what that's what the Nazis do, Marxists. They all do the same thing. They change the meanings of words, And they say that we're psychologically ill, or we're dangerous, or we're terrorists, and that's the ploy. As a matter of fact, that was one of the papers we recently just put into the federal courts, a bill of information concerning that very thing. And so they're being exposed, and they're being exposed on the record, on their record, and sooner or later it's going to break into the news. In time it will. That's going to be God's job to do that, because certainly we can't make that happen. But at some point, I think he'll put the pressure on them. They won't be able to deny it anymore. They'll have to break it out, just like the judges. It's going to get to a point where they're just going to have to let it go, because the pressure is going to be too great for them. And only that's going to happen if the people want to save America. If you don't want to save America, keep doing what you're doing. Just stay home. Don't come out to National Liberty Alliance. Don't join us. Don't get involved if you don't want to save America. And if that's what the people want, then c'est la vie to America and what all the work that our founding fathers put together in the last 200 years, because they're going to erase that from the memory of the world. It'll never be known. 50 years from now, you'll never know that anything like this ever existed. But if you're interested in saving America and what our founding fathers put together, it's time to step up and put your John Hancock onto the paper right here at National Liberty Alliance. Make our numbers grow, and let's go do the job we need to do.
Hey, John, I want to dovetail something in here. What people also should understand is, God forbid things should go wrong in this country, what we're doing is the answer for rebuilding. Look, if people don't have the knowledge of common law and the grand jury, how are we going to get back there? You know what I'm saying? So it's very important that we have this in our breasts, so to speak, so that anything that, and God forbid something happens, you start to rebuild at the county level. That's the level, you know what I mean? Okay, small communities, town, and then county. You know, if things go really bad, the county will be the most important level of government for everybody in their own state. Because you get your county back, and then the counties will team up. But this is the method that you would reinstitute the Constitution with. And it won't be easy, but this is the only way to do it. And so if you don't understand honor, justice, and mercy, you're not going to do it. And I also like to thank Ron Flick, who sent me the V50 lectures. And those there was three set there, like, they're long. They're long, and you can get bored, but you know what? There's a lot of nuggets in there, a lot of nuggets, and there's like three different ways that he does it. The first ones I found the hardest, but, you know, they got 1A, 2A, and 3A. Then he's got 1B, 2B. Well, the B ones were more to the point, and in there he talks about how the truly great ideas are never up in lights, and people never just latch onto them, but somehow they get through and they last. He said, look at Isaac Newton's theories of gravity and stuff was never put in the paper, but we remember him to this day because it allowed the creation of all kinds of things, everything, you know, the lever, the fulcrum, all this stuff. It was something that was so important that it survived everything, and people in his own day didn't know him, but today we know him because that idea, that simple idea that people were over, and he said, usually it's the simple things that are the answers that people overlook, and it's those things that stand the test of time. And he said, you don't need a whole bunch of people to understand that. You need like certain quality people to come in and start using it and start putting it into practice. You know, eventually what happens is when you have a good idea, and it's very and it's simple and it works, people start using it, and pretty soon they don't even remember where it came from. They just, oh, that's the way it is. Don't you know? You know what I mean? I mean, look, we had two theories. You got one guy saying that the bigger an object is, the faster it falls. He never went out. That was a fault. I mean, he was also a brilliant man, and he made very big things that stood for years. But that was one thing that was wrong that Newton proved through his gravity. You know, take two balls and drop them from a tower and see which one hits first. Well, the guy had a theory that wasn't proved out. Look at this, and what it's about is using the scientific method of proving things, but doing it in socially and in law. It works. And that was a good program, so I just want to mention that. And anybody that feels the mind to go up and listen to those things and grab those nuggets out, because they very well apply to what we're doing here. And you'll see so many correlations to what we're talking about and what those V50 lectures tell you, you know, advocate and bring to light. And as far as the proof of what we're doing, the proofs of what we're doing, you see, we can prove we're right, and we can prove it by putting it into action, and that's what it's about. Okay, I'm going to yield.
Okay. All right, we're going to move to our next caller. You're pretty much done, Andrew, right?
Yeah, that was all I had to say. Because I had noticed that you posted something on the webpage where it said person of interest having to deal with common law and everything. I wanted to ask you what that was actually about, by the way.
I'm not sure. What, person of interest? Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was
we
Tory,
filed a
Tory.
Paper. Yeah. Well, we're not giving names out, so.
I saw that. I saw that. Yeah. That's what all this stuff I saw about people promoting violence, and it's actually been in the National Liberty group on Facebook. I was having to deal with someone earlier.
Well, what we did is we posted a bill of information, and we attached that poster to the bill of information. We took out the identity of the individual, and they had targeted him and called him a person of interest, and that made him susceptible to a serious situation, maybe by some rookie cop or some hotshot cop that might think he's going to have to, take this guy down or find something wrong with him or something. He became a target, and this was posted all over the courts, and we found out that this was set out there by the court system themselves on the executive level. As a matter of fact, Prudente, those who know that name and remember that name, she's the second highest executive judge here in New York State, and she actually removed his papers from his file as if he had not filed any papers, and she was involved with this we believe she was involved with this thing. And we talked with the police officer who claimed he had nothing to do with it, yet his phone number and his email address was right on it. Yeah, his name, everything was there, and it was posted all over the courthouse down there in New York City. And he was able to, when he walked in, he was able to pull one, and he got me a copy. And then we wrote a bill of information concerning what's going on in America with these people. These judges, they're out of line. The cops are out of line. They're way out of line. And let me tell you something. These people are going to go to jail.
They basically took him providing his constitutional rights and put a big target on his back, on his backside, making cops look at him. And like you said, some rookie or hotshot cop might find something wrong, and he might end up on the 6 o'clock news as an innocent bystander being shot.
That's right.
They'll make it up just because
there's a poster out there, and that gives this cop some high. He taser him or kills him, shoots him or something, and then sets him up. And, hey, you know, I took down this guy. He was a person of interest, man, and he did A, B, and C when he did nothing. So, yeah, it was a very serious situation.
Let's move to the next caller, though.
We did talk with that guy. We have not talked with the FBI about that, but we did a bill of information recently on Sovereign Citizen and also using
We talked to a law enforcement official that said that poster was a bogus poster. They don't do that.
Yeah, I remember. Where did that come from? I remember
that.
Yeah,
it was somebody, I don't know if it was us or maybe somebody in the city, and I don't want to mention any names, that talked to an FBI official, and he said, look, we don't put out posters of person of interest like that, especially when they haven't been charged with any crime. I mean, look, that thing was really bad because they're ruining his character. He's not even been charged with anything. He's been identified as a paper terrorist. I mean, come on, give me a break.
That's what they call them, yes, paper terrorist.
And a sovereign citizen. Well,
also psychologically ill, they arrested him and put him in jail to be psychologically analyzed because they claim he's crazy because he brings all this United States Supreme Court stuff and Declaration of Independence and the Constitution into his case, and that's really crazy. That's wacky. You know, to think that you have a Bill of Rights, that's insane. that's what people are being put into crazy houses for. And he's not the only one. This is a plague across America. And we're going to be writing more about this also to these courts. We're going to put it right on the front page, right on their file. And we're going to get it to the news. We'll start seeing if they'll start printing some of this stuff. They are derelict of duty. They all belong in jail, in my opinion. But anyway, let's move to the next caller because we've got a lot of callers here. So, next caller, let's see. Wireless caller, 304.
Hey, John, can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead.
Oh, good, good. How you doing? It's Anthony, West Virginia.
How you doing,
Anthony? I'm doing good, doing good. Are you still taking affidavits?
Yes, we're still taking affidavits. Matter of fact, I got a lot of papers that I haven't even gone through. I know someone mentioned that they didn't get their, I heard it earlier before the program started, they didn't get their booklets yet, so they'll have to get to me to let me know. If they recently ordered it, I've got some that are going out hopefully tomorrow or the next day, so they may be in that order. That'll bring us up to date again.
But we are still taking
the affidavits, uh-huh. And we're really just trying to set things up in a way so that we can, particularly we'll take an affidavit for people who have tried to get a hold of the grand jury and were prevented from doing so, or had a situation where they saw the jury tampering, maybe they were on a jury and the judge tampered with the jury, or they were on a grand jury, or even a jury and a prosecutor tampered with them. Kind of stories.
Would an affidavit about something that happened in a court-ordered mediation, would that be appropriate or inappropriate?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, we are taking affidavits for other things, we're going to be dealing potentially with some other things. And really, we're using them for pressure, not necessarily to get any headway with your case.
Okay. Yeah.
Because that would have to be fixed on your own once we get to the other side of things. You know, you're not going to get justice in these courts until we get the common law back in. You might be able to escape them by doing certain things, but you certainly are not going to get justice.
Mm-hmm. What time's the call tomorrow night for state coordinators?
I can't say. Those people have been notified, and I'm not going to talk about it because we've had infiltrators last time.
So we've changed
things around. That particular meeting, only 50 people are coming to. Actually, 52, myself and Gerard, and 50 people, one person from every state. And that's
well,
all get into that room.
I am the West Virginia state coordinator, and I don't remember getting a notice. When did you send out the notice for the meeting?
Oh, goodness, they've been going out for 2 days. What state?
West Virginia.
Okay.
We're not doing a normal Tuesday meeting anymore, though. I don't think he understands
No, we're not doing a Tuesday meeting no more, no.
There's no regularly scheduled Tuesday state coordinator meeting at this point.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, I tried to get on one last week, I think, or the week before, and there was nobody there. So did you send out emails from your jurist?
West Virginia, Anthony, it went out to Anthony. It only went out to one state coordinator. Okay,
that's me.
So you should have had
it.
You don't have
it? So should it be in my email? I didn't check email today.
Look, give me a call right after the program tonight.
Okay.
845-233-6560. Right?
Okay.
Meanwhile, look in your email and see if it's there.
It went out to you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's about all I had, John. So thanks a bunch. We'll talk to you tomorrow night then. I'm sure you sent me an email. I just haven't seen it. Been busy doing honeydew projects today, all day.
Well, anyway, if you get it, don't bother calling me. But if you didn't get it, call me.
All right. We'll talk to you later. God bless, brother.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay, next caller, South Dakota, Kurt. Go right ahead. Kurt from South Dakota. Go right ahead.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. And yourself?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I'm kind of off the discussion of what I wanted to ask. It's been a while since I've been listening. But I wanted to know, certified public accountants, are they a member of the British accreditation registry?
Public account, I don't know. I don't know. It's a good question.
I don't think they're in the bar. I don't think so. I mean, okay. I can't say unequivocally, but I don't believe they are.
I never looked to see one way or the other, so I wouldn't know. So.
Okay. Well, I had one public accountant that I know that said he had to send money to them. So I was kind of curious if they were actually associated with them, and then that brings me to the question of if a certified public accountant.
Well, remember this. The certified accounting is really an extended arm of the IRS. The IRS depends upon them, and they're controlled by law, statutes actually, and therefore lawyers always get involved in they're always in their back pocket. So there is a direct connection and control. Just like there's a direct connection and control by any lawyer, any judge, any court, a direct a control of all of our elected officials. They got these teams of lawyers that send them this way, that way, and the other way, every way but the right way. The pharmaceutical companies, all of that stuff. They're all controlled by lawyers. So yeah, there's a connection in that way, but not, I don't know anything about them being directly connected to the bar.
And then listening to your discussion, I came up with another question. Who arrests a sheriff when he's breaking the Constitution?
You get the U.S. Marshal.
U.S. Marshal or a provost marshal, or are they the same?
Nope, U.S. Marshal.
Or the undersheriff, for that matter.
Well, yeah, the undersheriff can do it. If he's got the guts to do it and realize it, yeah, he should do it, absolutely. But if not, you get the U.S. Marshal. Look, the U.S. Marshal was started by Washington, and he chose a specific group of people who actually was in the war with him. And he wanted he selected a marshal for every state or district. I don't recall exactly how it was done, but he had selected all the marshals. And he particularly chose people who was in the war with him that he knew firsthand and would follow orders on the one hand, but also people who believed in the Republic. And that was key. And that's the beginning of the history of the marshals. Now the marshals, there's a necessity for them, no doubt about it. I mean, they move prisoners around, and in cases where like this, where a sheriff had to be arrested, and if no one's got the guts to do it, the U.S. Marshal can come in and do it. As a matter of fact, if you read our paperwork, we referred to that if the sheriff does not obey the command from the grand jury as getting into access into the courts. Through under seal, that is, for instance, I have a judge or someone removed and arrested because they refuse to step aside, then if the sheriff refuses to do his duty, which he might in some cases because he's buddy with the judges, then it is commanded upon the U.S. Marshal to come in and remove him, and then the undersheriff would take his place. And that's how we wrote it up in our paper two papers ago, where we did a bill of information, which ended up being a a writ of mandamus ultimately, which ordered the judges all the federal judges to sign the mandamus, and the mandamus commanding all judges in every state to obey the Constitution, and very specifically A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, what we wrote down in order to get us access into the courts. So that's where we're at. We're sitting on those papers right now. We're waiting to see what they're doing. They have not responded to my knowledge yet. I haven't seen the papers that have been collected yet, but I'll be getting them this week. And to my knowledge, they have not responded directly yet, and that's disturbing in one way, and it's interesting that they haven't said anything. So...
Well,
hopefully we'll have a report on that next Monday.
Hey, not for nothing. If you go to the FBI's website and read their mission statement, they claim that one of their biggest jobs is corruption of public servants. So, I mean, if the FBI was doing their constitutional work.
Maybe it's time to get them involved.
They would be another one who could arrest the sheriff. Because, look, that's the checks and balances of power, isn't it? I mean, look, the federal government really doesn't have any jurisdiction in a state unless what? Unless they're there putting the Constitution back in order, right?
That's it.
About the check and balance of power. So, I mean, if a federal guy's going to come into a state, he better be there to reinstitute or reinform, you know, the constitutional, reinstate the Constitution to uphold that law. And if you read their, mission statement, it claims that for, you know, one of their biggest jobs is corruption in public office. So, you know, anyway, I just thought that was interesting.
Well, then I heard John say something during the call, and we had had a court case where one of the elected officials had notarized their own petitions, and the Secretary of State allowed that to happen, and we sued the Secretary of State because we were denied under technicality, and then we ended up in front of a judge, and the question was asked, and you said that a judge has to give you an answer one way or another. And so,
well, he's supposed to. Often he doesn't, but go ahead.
Well, it was a she, but we asked, is notarizing your own petitions against the law? And her answer was, I don't know.
Wow.
Is that an answer?
Wow, that's a dumb answer.
Judges never supposed to say that. Judges are supposed to know the law.
Yeah, they know. They knew what you would, where you were heading with that, and that's why she said that, and you should have held her feet to the fire on that one, I'll tell you.
Well, I got it. I recorded it, and I gave it to a local paper, and they put it out. And then the state's attorney got on them and made them take it down. So anyway, that's all I really had for tonight.
Okay, thanks for sharing. Let's go to the next caller. Thomas from Georgia, is it?
How you doing tonight, John?
Good, and yourself?
Doing good. It's Thomas from Georgia. Got two quick things for you. Have you ever heard of an organization called Lawless America?
No.
All right. One of my county organizers brought to my attention. There's a guy by the name of Bill Windsor out of Marietta, Georgia, that has been going around the country for the past 2 years videotaping stories of people that have been affected by corrupt courts. He's got over 2,000, almost 3,000 testimonies. And this, I think this could be a good tie-in to what we're doing.
Yeah, he should give me a call.
All right.
If you can get a hold of him, to give me a call, because we'd love to have that kind of a testimony with all those, all that paperwork for one of our upcoming papers.
Yeah. All right. Second thing is, we have an election in the state of Georgia for the state coordinator. And I'm showing that you have Donald from Jenkins County as the state coordinator. But
correct.
At the election, I was elected state coordinator.
Okay, you'll all have to work that out amongst yourselves and send me info on that.
I sent you an email yesterday at 4:30, stating that we had held an election and that I was elected.
All right, so. I did read something. But I also read something. This is Georgia?
Yeah, Georgia.
Okay, yeah. Somebody had sent something up, and also I got a copy of some bylaws. And,
yeah, that was what I sent you. That was actually just a forward email from what everybody sent everybody.
Okay. So let me. Tomorrow night's meeting is a meeting for the sole purpose of planning a meeting. Okay, so it's not going to be anything really big going on any decision on anything like that. That's going to be done in a different way, and you'll know about that shortly. But this idea with writing bylaws is not good. We don't want any rules. We don't want any committees or anything. We're the people. And the state coordinator's position is going to disappear soon. As soon as we get into the courts, it'll just be administrators. Well, we'll probably keep the coordinators for a while to continue to grow and usher people in and to maintain sort of like a traffic cop and working with the other organizers. But the boots that are hitting the ground are going to be ultimately the administrators, and some of the state coordinators, I'm sure, will become administrators, and some of the county organizers. I would hope all the state coordinators and all of the county organizers are going to become administrators, which means that they will become, there are four administrators in every county, and those are the positions, they're paid positions that will be open, and we will be the investigative body for the grand jury, for the common law grand jury. We also will do all the orientation for the incoming juries and the incoming grand juries. We get 8 hours with them to train them and teach them, you know, about what common law is and the basic principles. It's not difficult. And really is showing us some videos and having discussions with them, making sure that they understand the two major maxims of law, that for every, you know, in order for there to be a crime, there must be an injured party. So without that, there is no crime. That's number one. The second thing is that for every injury, there must be a remedy. So whoever has been injured, they must be fixed. They must be brought back and repaired, whatever it takes. And the person who injured them is responsible for doing that. And I think that's real easy for people to get. We also want to train them that they have to have a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. And if every decision is made that way, they will be able to go to sleep that night because they know they would have made the best decision they possibly can in any of the cases that they hear. And they need to understand they're dealing with human beings. And whatever their decision is going to be is going to affect those people for the rest of their lives. And so they better sit down and take it real serious and adhere to the principles that we're going to set. And it's so serious that we're going to make every jurist take a vow directly to God. This is not swearing to uphold the Constitution. That's not our job. We're going to make a sworn statement to God, what's called a vow. And one of the things we're going to make sure is that these people who are violating the Constitution that are in office, that we're going to deal with those people. But we're going to come in with that vow. And then the other juries, they'll be taking the same vow. And they'll understand, look, if you get someone that's amongst you and breaks those vows, it's up to you to throw them off. You can throw them out of this jury. You don't have to keep them there. If they're psychotic or they're egotistical and it's disrupting the potential justice in any case that they're looking at and discussing, it's your duty to throw them out. It's your duty to get together and take a vote and get rid of this person from that group. You know, a grand jury can whittle down. A grand jury can whittle down. Let me finish, though, because this is educational. A grand jury can whittle down to 12. Okay, they start off with 25. And hopefully they can keep the 25. But if they have to get rid of somebody, that's their business to get rid of. It's their duty to get rid of them. They can dwindle down to 12. The trial jury is always 12 plus two spare wheels. So you have 14 people sitting in the bench, but only 12 are actually the juries, the trial jury. And what happens, of course, if someone gets sick, ill, or something happens, or they have to be discarded from the group, then there's always that extra two people to replace them. So that's why they have that. So we shouldn't have a problem with problematic people. We can get rid of them, and we're going to train the people to know that they can get rid of them. It's up to them to do that. But as far as bylaws, look at committees. Committees are political. And that's the problem with this country, is we have committees. The Congress shouldn't have committees. None of these places should have committees. Look, they need to be doing the business of the people. And if they were doing the business of the people, 95% of what they're doing wouldn't be doing, because it's all unconstitutional. So the 3 to 5% that they should be doing, they should be doing as a group, not as a committee. Now, you can break off a committee to do an investigation on something and come back and report to the whole and work off of that, but that committee doesn't have any more authority than anyone else. There should be no person that is the head of a group that makes the decision what's going to come onto the floor and what's not going to come onto the floor. And anybody that holds the gavel should be able to be gotten rid of with just 50% of the vote. You don't need two-thirds or three-quarters or anything of that nature. You just need the majority to say, hey, it's time to change the guy that's holding the gavel. And that's it. It's done. And there's no special authority there or anything like that. They have no bigger vote. They have no bigger say. And whoever is the state coordinator really is more like a traffic cop. They really have to be very humble, and they have to be given to the people. That's where we got to get to. But if you want to change persons, that's not a problem. It's too late to do it for tomorrow. You could do it for, you know, you could change it before we have the next meeting, and whatever it is in the state you want to discuss and do, then just do. Okay? But I don't want to get mixed up into, if there is a disagreement amongst your state, we've set up a way to deal with that, because I was going in and trying to arbitrate, and it's just not, look, I haven't got the time to arbitrate anyway. On a very serious matter, I will get involved when it has someone that's going to try to do something that is destructive to what we're doing. I will get involved. But generally speaking, when you have a disagreement and you can't settle it in your state, you turn to the state next to you and ask the state coordinators to get a body of three or four people to judge which way it should go. And you tell your story to them and let them arbitrate it and live with it. That's if you're at a clash and you can't make it, can't get going. But there really shouldn't be that, because look, we're all working together just to take, our job is really to take back the republic. So we want to be careful we don't get too lost, that we get lost in titles or things of that nature.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, and like I say, I just letting you know that, I mean, the state has already voted. I mean, that was, we held a meeting. You can look on there. All of the county organizers were invited to the meeting.
Right.
And,
well, call up.
Donald
call
didn't
up.
Didn't show up for the meeting, so he wasn't included in whether he was going to be.
Well, look, call up Donald. I know Donald. I've spoke with Donald quite a few times over the year, but call up Donald and get the information, and someone else will come in. If there's some kind of a conflict, which there shouldn't be, but if there is a conflict, whatever it is, just someone needs to be there. And if it's Donald for right now, it's fine, and then he can convey all the information, because he needs to convey all the information to everybody. There's a reason. We have a plan, and a plan needs to get out to everybody. So that's what has to happen. But however, you call him up, talk with him. If you think someone else needs to be there instead of him, that's fine. That's your business, not mine. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Hey, John.
Yes.
John, we have a question from the chat from what you were talking about just a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
They want to know that if they won't arrest the officials, which they're supposed to,
right,
what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to do what?
Well, who's supposed to do? The people wanting to get the arrest done?
Right. If they won't arrest the officials, which they're
supposed
to. What
do you do then? Oh, yeah, that's exactly the problem. That's exactly the problem. We cannot get sheriffs to make the arrest of these crooked judges. And we came to an understanding. We had one sheriff who disagreed with us, and then after a little bit of while of conversation, we were really talking with a guy who had studied law, but he was a deputy, and I think he was a lieutenant or something, a detective. And he was telling us that we were wrong, and we sat down with him, and we got him to the point where he realized. He said, you know, you're right. I see this. But now here's the problem I have. Okay, we need to get the prosecutor to work with us. And we said, okay. And we got his name, and we got his address, and we went over to see the prosecutor, and we sat down with him. And he just didn't want to move, because we were going after judges. And he just didn't want to move on it in any way. And I had an epiphany during it, and I probably should have realized it when I was talking with the sheriff, but I didn't realize it until after I was talking with the prosecutor. I realized halfway through, you know, I was trying to really get out of there because I knew we were getting nowhere. I realized halfway through the sheriff couldn't do anything without the approval of the prosecutor, because the prosecutor is the lawyer, quote-unquote. He's the guy who does the prosecution, and if he decides he's not going to do the prosecution, then they release the people, and they'll tell the sheriff, hey, you got to release him. And obviously, there's a protection here. They're protecting each other, and the sheriff would be in big doo-doo, because he's definitely not going to get elected again next time, because they're going to cut him out because he's not a team player, and so on and so forth. So he'd have to really get the message on to the people in order to get reelected. So there's a power there. There's also a paycheck connection to that. And as a matter of fact, that was one of the things that was mentioned down one of the meetings down in Florida with law enforcement, when these guys and Terry and Roger and Hagen were in talking with them, and they didn't make any bones about it. The fact that their paycheck is connected, they got to know who their paycheck is coming from. So they were saying something. I told them, make sure you get that into your affidavit, because that's huge, because that's just telling you that I'm being paid off to do what my boss is telling me to do. And so, you know, how are you going to make this happen? There's only one way, and that's what we're doing. Only the people can save America. We got to break through this system. We got to force them into obedience. And the only way we're going to do that is for huge numbers of people to mount up and start to put the pressure on them. We're going to start doing the paperwork. And I think some of the things we're going to be doing in the next couple of weeks is going to be something that's really going to motivate the tens of thousands of people that are already following us. And we happen to know that we have tens of thousands of people because we look at our Google Analytic reports and we get the amount of people that hit us that are unique every month. And believe me, we have tens of thousands of people. Now, of those people that are following us, well, we only have 3,400 people that have actually signed up, okay? So that's okay. I can see where people are waiting, and when they feel comfortable, they're going to come in. Well, I'm telling you, for those who are starting to get a little comfortable, it's time to come in. You know, once the people flood in and the numbers really explode, everybody's going to feel comfortable coming in. So let's get that flood going. Let's get that movement going. Let's get that landslide of people to force these people to obey the Constitution. Because right now, these judges are at war with the people of the United States of America. They are at war with you. They are spitting on our Constitution. They say common law is no longer available in the United States. This is some of the things that they are saying. This is what lawyers are being taught in law school. And let's interpret exactly what that means. That means that the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, is null and void in their courtroom. That's exactly what it means. Scalia in United States versus Williams called the Bill of Rights a common law document. He says the common law of the Fifth Amendment requires an independent grand jury, separate from the courts, and so on and so forth. Okay? Well, that's common law. The Constitution is a common law document. There are very few common law documents, and the ones that we adhere to particularly and specifically is the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution for the United States of America with the additional 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, the Magna Carta, and the Holy Bible. That's what we recognize as the common law as far as documents are concerned. The common law is what is right. And common law requires logic, and you kind of figure out if there's an injured party, who injured them, how injured are they. I mean, that's not too difficult to figure out once you listen to all the witnesses and listen to the people involved, and you'll see what's happening. You know what's got to be done, and that's what common law is sitting down and getting down to the nitty-gritty, figuring out what the problem is and how we're going to fix it. And then once you set forth how you're going to fix it, then you make the ruling, and you say this is what's going to happen, and the judge doesn't have nothing to say whatsoever. Nothing. He doesn't get to decide the law. He doesn't get to participate in any way. He's just a traffic court and a cop to make sure things move. That's all that his job is. Okay? It's the jury who decides the facts. It's the jury who decides the law. And it is the jury who decides the penalty, if there should be one. It's the jury who decides if there's going to be mercy or not. It's all up to the jury. It's the people. That's how we were set up. And that's how we need to get back. And these people don't want us there because they know when we come in, they're going to jail. That's why they don't want us there. Now, we have no intentions of putting them in jail. They'll put themselves in jail. We just, as long as they're willing to work with us, we're not on a witch hunt or anything. We told them that. Just do the right thing, and we're good. Let's save America together. Let's bring it back to our founding fathers created. So it's up to them to do the right thing. And right now they're not doing the right thing. And if they continue on the path they're going, believe me, they are going to jail. Because the end results, if the people rise, unless the people decided they don't want America no more. Maybe people are tired of America. Maybe they want to change. Maybe they want more tyrants ruling over them. They want more laws and more penalties and maybe guillotines and all these other things. Maybe that's what they want. I don't know. If that's what you want, do nothing. You want to save America? Time to get up and move. Time now. No more time left. We're at the end. This is the end game. We are there. We're moments away from midnight. We're seconds from midnight. We stand at the precipice, and before us is the abyss. And it's up to you whether we're going to be put down that abyss or we're going to succeed and overtake these people. Anyway, where are we? Anything else?
John, just to reiterate on that last question I did ask you, they were also wondering if that was that included the marshals as well.
If which included the marshals, that
if
that,
what goes for the sheriffs goes for the marshals as well.
Well, the marshals will do what they're ordered to do by the federal courts. I doubt very much that they would look at if the marshals were to disobey this order. Goodness, it's time for the militia, and it's time to, you got nothing then. I mean, if we get into the process and we get the orders from the courts, and then I can't see in any way marshals or sheriffs disobeying the courts anyway. Just it doesn't even play a, it doesn't come anywhere in my thinking. I just can't imagine that happening. Right now, they're obeying everything the court tells you, tells them. And some of them say, well, what am I going to do? You know, they're telling, that's what I got to do, you know. This is what they're saying. They haven't got the guts to step up and say no. Look, I like that one sheriff who met the federal government with a force with equal force, you know. We'll bring our, how did he say that, Gerard? They're going to bring down their snipers, what they call them. The, you there, Gerard? You're fumbling for your microphone, maybe? Well,
you
anyway.
Got perfect timing, John. Yeah. Nick said, if you don't stand down, we're going to bring a SWAT team. He said, that's all right. I got one, too. We'll meet.
That's right. Yeah. See, that's the attitude. Damn it, if I was a sheriff, that'd be my attitude. That would be my attitude. I would wish that would be your attitude and everyone else's attitude. Because if that was all of our attitude, we wouldn't have this problem no more. It'd be gone tomorrow. That's the sheriffs we need. We need people to run for sheriffs that'll have that attitude. Bring it on. You want to bring a SWAT team? We got one, too. Meet you at the border. That's the way to do it. And that shuts them right down. Because, you know, look, at Sheriff Mack is right on one thing. The federal government does not want to go up against the sheriffs. That's a fact. They do not want to do that. Because when they go up against the sheriff, I think game over at that point. Because there's nothing closer to the people than the sheriff. Even though the people don't understand the sheriff yet, a lot of people don't realize because they see the city cops and the town cops. And they're all corporation cops, by the way. They don't have the authority to really do what they're doing. They're running around with weapons exposed, and that's against the law according to their own state law, because they're not real true law enforcement. They're just a hired security cop. And they don't have the authority to walk around with an exposed weapon. They don't let anyone else do it. That's their law. So why are these, corporate policemen officers or corporate cops doing this? You know, they're no cops at all. So anyway. Okay, let's go. Thanks, Thomas. We're going to go to the next caller. Gerard, you're supposed to be pushing me on along, by the way. Okay, 661.
Oh, yeah, that's me, John. Don't know if I still want to say. Yeah, it's Ellie.
Yes.
In Los Angeles, California.
Yes.
I just wanted to tell you that I went to this tea party on Saturday, and I asked a question about what are they doing about pushing sanity in the courts. What are they doing about this? And they said, oh, we're going to elect people who will respect the Constitution. I said, that's great.
They haven't had enough yet. So, they must be new people in the Tea Party, because a lot of us have left that position. I'm not supporting anyone for office ever again. I'm never going to do any kind of campaigning or help for anybody, because that doesn't work.
Exactly. They're in just to get our donation. That's all they're in for right now. Even the Tea Party has been hijacked.
Yes.
I was horrified.
Yeah, you should get the tea parties to come out to National Liberty Alliance. Everybody should get their tea parties to come out to National Liberty Alliance. And let's roll up our sleeves and let's save America. Because this is it. If you can get a horse to water and get, you know, it's hard to make them drink it, but if they drink it, it tastes real good. Look, all they need to do is come to our front page, read our page. That tells them pretty much who we are, where we're coming from, what is the basic idea in our mind. Watch the video, and you'll see the authority and the power by which we come by. And anybody who gets to that point that is serious about looking for a way to save America, they got to get it. Unless they are just brain dead, they got to get it.
I asked him one very important question to find out what they're made of. And I said, what do you think America was built upon? Was it upon the majority rules, or is it upon the Constitution, the laws? Are we a country of laws, or are we a country of majority? And he said, we are a country of majority. That's what rules America. And I told him,
they've been taught everywhere all their life. They keep calling it a democracy, and a democracy, everybody gets a vote, and it's mob rule. They don't understand what mob rule is, because that's what mob rule is. And you look at, they've been brainwashed. They really have been brainwashed. And the only thing that's going to change that is education. The only thing.
Do you think they are brainwashed, or have they been hijacked?
Well, both, anyway. We've all been brainwashed or hijacked. I mean, I came out of the insanity. I believed the lies, just like most everyone else. There's very few people that didn't know from the beginning, you know. But if you're in it, like my children, they know. They've been around me long enough, you know, obviously, and they know the truth. So they've not really believed the lie yet, but there's very few people. Generally speaking, we've all went to the same schools, we listened to the same news, we listened to the same music and entertainment, and all of that is designed to keep us busy and away from the important things in life, and to brainwash into, first of all, everything's fine. We got all, and believe, you know, look, we're being real fair. It's a regular vote, and you know, certainly we're not fixing the vote. I mean, it's real. It's a real vote. Look, we got machines that count it to make sure that nobody can mess with that vote. You know, all that garbage that we believe. In any event, you know, just take the vote, majority rules. Well, that's not what law is about. That's not what liberty is. Liberty is not that at all. Unalienable rights from God.
If there are too many people who are voting for the wrong thing, against the law, that makes it the law. It's awful.
Well, it's what Jefferson said. If a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. And that's the bottom line. And that's why, what was the solution? Jefferson said the solution is to educate the people. Don't take it from them. Educate them. And that's what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance, because our government has been taken over by progressives on both parties. They're destructive, and the only education they're given is brainwashing. They're educating good slaves, useful idiots is what they're creating. And we need to break away from that, and we need to find the truth. And NLA is offering that truth.
That's why I'm only... At heart, I'm only with you, and I am. Everywhere I go, I get very frustrated now.
Yes, I appreciate that. I know I do too, because they're just spinning their wheels. I mean, look at. I still have people in the Tea Party groups that I ran. I'm not running them lately. I let other people run in them, but I started them, and they're all lost in these elections, you know. They're not listening. They're not hearing. And so, I don't know.
What good is it to elect someone who respects the Constitution, and when he wants to apply it, the courts just overruled it?
Well, right. Look, it's not the solution. We've done it many times. It doesn't work. We send good people to Washington. We send good people up to Albany here in New York, and they become just as corrupt as the rest of them within 6 months. They come back with excuses.
Yeah,
they don't make any changes.
Yes, they are in there to get our money and ask us to vote for this guy. Give us money and we'll fight for you. Give us money and we'll fight for you. Then they do nothing for us but take our money, and it's just becoming like a vicious circle, and we are the sheeple, you know, the idiots. I'm not giving money to nobody anymore.
Well, look, we really don't need everybody. You know, look at the revolutions are started by a very small percentage of the people, and look at, even our nation was built on just a small number of people getting involved. I mean, goodness, the Constitution, let's see, what was it? The Constitution was written by 40 people, I think it was. The Declaration of Independence was written by one, but of course they all negotiated after it was written. It was Thomas Jefferson who wrote it, but it was signed by 56 people. The Holy Bible was also, I believe, 40 people. Let me think. How many people was the Bible? I think 40 people, if I recall. 66 books penned by 40 people. And so it's always a small number of people to get the job done. We only need 4 people in every county. 4 people in every county, we will take that entire county over, literally, because the people will now rule, because we will empower the people in the juries to do the right thing and put in jail or remove from office anybody who breaks the law. Breaking the law is being in bad behavior. Bad behavior is anybody who oversteps their jurisdiction or supports something other than the Constitution in the place of the Constitution. That's bad behavior, and we can remove them from office, and we will. And so, you know, that's how we'll take it back. So we have 3,100. I'm going to change the number because it seems that we have 3,133 counties now. They do change from time to time, and I guess I'll have to change the number up there. But we do have 3,133 counted counties. So we only need 4 people for every one of those counties. So we need about 13,000 people across the United States to take everything back. Everything back to where it began. We can reset the clock to 1789. Okay?
And that's
up to the people to do it. We got 4,000 already. Almost 4,000.
Because you are after the right thing, the only thing there is. You are at the Achilles heel.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. This is the thing.
And our only hope and consolation tells the truth.
That's right.
Thank God for
truth
you.
Truth shall set us free. So thank
okay,
God
yeah.
for God.
You off now. You got like 20 people out there.
We need our justice back. We need justice in this country. If we cannot uphold our laws, we're nothing. If
Amen.
We are chaos and lawless, nothing can help us. Nothing. We need justice
well,
in court.
Look at it. Justice is in court is the only way. Our founding fathers got it right. Okay, look at when they wrote the Constitution, they wrote the prelude to the Constitution, which really talked about 5 things that purpose of government was for. 5 things, and one of them was to protect the blessings of liberty. Okay, now the blessings of liberty, that's key because they realize that without being blessed by God with that liberty, there's nothing to protect. But if they're being blessed by God to have that liberty, the purpose of that government was to protect that blessing of liberty. And so therefore, we need to be blessed from God in order to have liberty. If we're not blessed, we're cursed and we won't have it. If God does not give it to us, we're not going to have it. And surely if we're going to be disobedient and we're going to ignore him and we're going to set him aside and just not bring his name into it, then surely he's going to curse us.
And, John, I want to tell you something very important before I let the others talk. Once we have justice in court, we won't need the Democrats or the Republicans because both of them will put their feet to the fire.
That's right.
We want they will both be at risk if they don't follow the law.
Oh, they will. They will look at they're hungry for power.
They will be in trouble, and that's what
they're
we need.
They're hungry for power, and they'll do whatever they're told. And if little by little, we'll take that power away from them. Because look at first of all, they get paid way too much. Okay. Second of all, they got someone who's a senator walks around like they're a king. Like they own the planet or something. No, we got to bring them down to size. They got to become the servant, and they need to understand they're the servant. They need to learn to humble themselves. And over time, the people putting the pressure and looking to get statesmen into the system, because remember, right now, your only opportunity to elect anyone into any office anywhere, with very rare exceptions, you're electing criminals, and they don't care whether you elect the criminals on the right or the criminals on the left. They really don't
exactly.
care which one. They just want
exactly.
their criminals in, and they're happy with it. And then they play a game. The whole thing is a play for the people because we're that stupid. That's
exactly.
how bad it is. But we've woken up, and we're no longer that stupid. We're not playing their game no more. And we will bring statesmen back into the system because unless they're honorable, unless they take a course in the Constitution and they stand up for the Constitution and go to Washington or to our state capital with the right purpose in mind and in heart, we don't want them. And that'll all get fixed itself once we fix our courts. It's amazing by fixing
Absolutely.
Your court, by fixing your local court, and we all do the same thing everywhere. It's just totally amazing. all of Americans' problems just disappear. Yeah, we'll always have problems battles and things, but I'm telling you, with all the assaults we have on America, it's all going to go away. And we'll get back to some normality and something we've never experienced, because it'll be true freedom and liberty.
You know, I woke up 30 years ago, at least, but I had no idea what to do about it. And you came up with this, and I am ecstatic.
Well, there's a group of us, so it's I'm just...
Whoever you are, you and others, of course, but this group has come up with the only idea that I never thought of that can bear fruit.
This is the grace of God. This only was dumped in our laps a year and 4 months ago. And we were prepared to receive this and run with it only because we had all the prerequisitional requirements of the things we needed to understand. We had the common law. We had the procedures and processes of court. We had the experience in court. We were able to argue and write papers. And we had all this experience that we had accumulated over the past 5 years or 4 years prior to that, trying to work the political process and getting the committeemen, the power of the committeemen back up again. And all of a sudden, this came and fell in our laps, and here we are prepared to be able to run with this by finding United States versus Williams. So that's why I believe this is God sent. This is
by the grace of God.
The will
yes.
of God. Yes, by the grace of God, we're doing the will of God. But how much more can we honor God by, first of all, lifting him up in the process of taking back the courts and bringing justice back into the courts? To bring justice into the courts means you're bringing virtue. You're bringing God into those courts. And that's what controls the nation. And we're taking the King of Kings to put him into the courts to rule our nation. That's what we're doing. And that's what the Bible has told us. Remember, we go back to the days of Samuel when the people wanted a king. And God said to Samuel, tell the people they got a king. I'm their king. You know, they don't need a king. They want a king like all the other, nations around them. And Samuel said, God's your king. He said, no, we want a king, and we want a man, a king. And he went to God and told God that they wanted a king. And God said, don't worry about that. They didn't reject you. He rejected me. I'm going to give them what they want. And they got a king. And then the whole thing, just nothing but a mess, as you read through the Bible and what happened then. But the bottom line is...
What happened to us when we started to reject God out of everywhere?
That's exactly the point.
So that started the downfall of America.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, if we will repent, humble, and pray, he is just and right to heal our land. Now, of course, that's a paraphrase, but that's what it says in the Bible. He will heal the land. So this is where we're at. This is we're at the end of America. We're standing right by the abyss. I mean, we're at the precipice, and
yes,
it's 2 seconds to midnight, and it's game
but
over.
John, you are and unstoppable. You are with God, and He is unstoppable.
That's the point. Yeah, absolutely. So I believe we're going to win. I do.
Yes.
But I'll tell you what, we're only going to win if the people get up with a bent knee and get behind us to save the Republic. We need them. We need them now.
They are.
Okay. All right, let me move on to the next caller.
I'm
surprised
Gerard
didn't complain anymore here. Okay. Next caller, Donald from Georgia. How you doing? Good to see you. Don.
Yes. How you doing, John?
How you doing, Donald? Your mic is breaking up. Try lowering your mic. Maybe that'll help. Or make sure the mic is plugged in all the way in the jack. Or try lowering the volume on the mic a little bit and try again.
There you go. How's that?
Try backing off on the mic just a little more because it just got a lot better.
Okay.
Oh, that's good. Now I can understand you. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you, sir. How are you?
Good.
Good. Most of my questions have been answered during this long discussion. The last caller was brilliant. The thing that I was confused about is earlier there was a gentleman, and I didn't catch his name because he was breaking up for me as well. with regards to the state of Georgia, and you asked him to call me. I haven't heard from him, so I don't know what's going on as far as the next meeting is concerned. Aside from that, all my questions have been answered, and I'm going to yield.
Okay, great. Thanks, Don. Okay, let's go to the next caller. Linda, you got the call, 941.
John, that's me, Roger.
Hey, Roger, how you doing? When did you change your name to Linda?
Yeah, well, she pays the bills.
Okay. How you doing?
Good.
Go
ahead. So, did you have any more questions about what's going
on?
No,
I don't. Just that when you get a chance tomorrow afternoon, maybe if you can, give me a call and let's discuss what we can do on this end.
Should be
and
able
try
to
get up to date with all the paperwork so we can see what's going on down there and see what we can do. We'll give you some thoughts and ideas also.
Additionally, I can say that last Thursday we had a very productive meeting with the sheriff of Sarasota County, and this was our second meeting with him, and Mike Boehm and John Saunders met with Tom Knight, the sheriff. About a quarter way into the discussion, the sheriff asked the question, would we be willing to put on a presentation in front of the Florida Sheriff's Association?
Oh, that'd be great.
So we're headed in that direction. We have a meeting next Thursday as a preliminary meeting with the president of the Florida Sheriff's Association, and then we'll see if we can get a full membership meeting after that.
Great. Well, you need to write a step-by-step process that others can follow in other states and be able to potentially get their foot in the door to talk to the Sheriff Association statewide, because that's the opportunity to talk with every sheriff in your state.
Right, exactly. And here we have a sheriff willing to sponsor us to get that meeting.
That's what you need, absolutely. So we tried to do that, and we just missed it by a year because the sheriff that was the sheriff that was in head of the association was a constitutionalist, and we thought we'd have a good opportunity to be able to get through to him. But he's no longer sheriff, and he's not the president of the association. But some other guy picked it up, and they haven't really been too nice to us necessarily, you know?
Yep.
So.
Okay, I'm done.
It's hard to get through to those guys.
It is. We're very lucky. John Saunders had a connection in, and also we had a couple of business people in the community that helped recommend us to the sheriff.
Great.
He said he was at a meeting last week with 22 other sheriffs around the state, and they were talking about Dixie County, and there were a few people that are thinking that it's just a rehash of the Sovereign Citizen movement. But a lot say, no, this is a different movement with a lot of different people.
Right. This is the people across the nation.
Right.
And I want to tell you, feel very comfortable to be able to say when you talk to these people that we're not just a few people here, we're people in every state. Talk about the constituting of every state of the union, which means we brought it to every county. And also bring up the point that there are tens of thousands of people following us. That's not an exaggeration. That's a fact. We have. Let's see. We get over 40,000 hits a month, or about 40,000 hits a month. And of those hits that come in, 60% are returning people. The other 40% are people that are unique for the month. So that's a pretty hefty amount of people, and that's every month, month in, month out. So, and that's been like that for quite some time now. And that number's actually growing. So. We know we have the attention of a lot of people. A lot of people haven't made the step yet to actually join up. I know some of the ways that we had things set up in the beginning might have scared some people away, so we softened that up because we really didn't have to be that hardcore. But in any event, we did soften up the membership access. And in any event, it seems that everywhere we go now, people are aware of National Liberty Alliance. All the groups, the Oath Keepers, everywhere. So that's a good news. That means we're very near to exclusion.
Admit it, John. You know that's just the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center coming in to check on us. That's not
That's right. You're absolutely
that's just
right.
An, That's
we actually
law
only
enforcement.
there's only four of us here, and everyone else is just
right.
a recording with. So, but anyway, what else, Roger?
That's it.
Okay, appreciate all the work you guys are doing down there. We'll talk tomorrow.
We appreciate everything you guys are doing too. Thanks.
Well, we got to work together, and that's what's going to get the job done. Okay, next caller. Let's see, another anonymous whose name is Ron. Go ahead, Ron.
Whoa! Yeah, I'm sorry. Did I wait too long? Did I lose you?
You fell asleep, I think.
Yeah. Well, I was in the chat. Yeah, I was in the chat room and had to switch screens over here to get back to the. I'm actually on the Skype over here. I'm the administrator of the Operation American Spring and Patriots for America websites.
Okay. Yep.
We've got about 10,000 members over there on those two websites, and Terry Trussell from Florida is one of our members over there.
Great.
And he's a personal friend. I've met him a couple of times. He was with us on our Operation American Spring back in May when we went to Washington, D.C. to try to impeach this corrupt bunch
Imposter.
Of... I won't say what I really want to call them.
Yes, I agree. They're imposters. Let's just call them imposters.
Yeah,
all of them.
Yeah, you ain't lying there that you talk about imposters. Anyway, we need all of us in L.A. John, I wish you would make every effort you can to communicate with Terry Trussell.
Oh, well, we are. I'll be talking with Roger tomorrow, and Terry may very well will probably be on the phone with us because Roger, Terry, and Hagen are working together down there with others, you know. So
yeah, Terry is very, very active. He's a brilliant man. He knows what he's doing, and he is... He's going to lay the law down literally on this sheriff's deputy. Now, I don't know if people have heard this part of it or not. The warrant for his arrest involved 10 felony counts of misconduct against the color of law. Now, what the heck is the color of law? I've only heard that term a couple of times, but basically I think what that amounts to is, pretty much whatever we
want the
law to say.
Well, I'll tell you what the color of law means. The color of law means that when someone with authority and jurisdiction acts outside of their jurisdiction or acts outside of their authority using their badge or their black robe or whatever it is that they're using. They're using their authority to break the law. That's acting under the color of law.
Okay. Is there a real possibility of any kind of what you would say a felony offense?
It's a felony offense if you're acting under the color of law. As a matter of fact, from what I've seen and heard, that sheriff was, because I heard about the sheriff, and that sheriff was acting under the color of law. In other words, that arrest that and all that process that they went through was without any authority. And therefore, it was a violation against U.S. Code 18 and 42, which talks about kidnapping someone and under the color of law.
Yeah, but it sounds to me like they're trying to turn the definition around. The color.
No, I don't think so. I think the gentleman maybe misunderstood what because if I recall,
well, they said his charges were against the color of law, not under the color of law.
Well, no, I think that was an error. I think that's a mistake.
Oh,
unless
okay.
I heard it wrong, because I heard it differently. So I don't know, but there's no way they can go after him under the color of law, because he's not in that kind of an authority. He's not an elected official. He's not an officer. He's just one of the people, and one of the people have the authority to do a bill of indictment or a presentment into the courts. So if they perceive someone broke the law, whether they broke the law or not. That has to be decided by the trial jury. That's why they have a trial. But if the grand jury is convinced by the evidence that they have that the law has been broken, they send it in. That's it. Look at this case is so big and huge, I already talked with everybody down there about getting into the federal courts. I think we need to move quicker to get into the federal courts, and we need to do it from both. The Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury's position and the Unified Florida Common Law Grand Jury, and also from the perspective of the grand jury in that county, Dixie County. So you have the grand jury in Dixie County moving on this, you have the Unified Common Law Grand Jury in Florida moving on this, and then you have the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury moving on this. And there are three different things we can all do. There's three different things we can do, okay, and yet do the same thing, but in three different ways. At the same time, this case needs to be alerted and copied to Scalia, because, again, Scalia was quite clear in his decision on United States versus Williams concerning the fact that the grand jury cannot be questioned at all, and it is horrific. It is a violation of its greatest form to go after the people on the grand jury for trying to stop crime. Not only that, Terry reported, the first reporting of this crime was to the judge, and the judge done nothing, okay? Then to the sheriff and to the other officers. They went to, I forget exactly where else. There's something with the state, law enforcement agency. Do you remember what state law enforcement agency that was, Gerard?
Well, they sent it to Florida's law enforcement agency, which was an agency that was basically set up.
Yeah, I think
it's a state agency. They intercepted. They intercepted his presentment, and they instead of it going to the other grand jury foreman, they sent it to the Florida law enforcement agency, which is a bullcrap agency to begin with. They were set up to take out corrupt sheriffs, apparently.
There are lawyers everywhere to prevent this. You see, when you go file papers in the federal courts, the United States attorney gets involved, and they have the ability. You have to get their – get this. They say you have to go get their approval. I mean, what is that all about? Okay. Now, when you go into the state courts and whether you're county level or whatever, you have to get the approval from the district attorney. Literally, you got to get the approval. Who are these people? Are they insane? Maybe that works in their corporate courts, but we're the people, and those courts belong to us. We paid to build those buildings. We paid to heat those buildings. We paid for all the machines and all of the employees in the buildings, and we've elected these people and pay their salaries to run this service for us. And what do they think? They own this? No, we own. That's our building, and we want it back.
Yeah, well, NLA probably wants to keep an eye on this case and what is going on with Terry Trussell, because Terry has stated to me, and I'm going to kind of hesitate a little bit to say this on what could be a little bit too much of an open forum. But Terry does have some pretty good backing.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some firepower behind him. And this thing is going to ignite a firestorm all across America.
Well, we're going to be working with that also to put the pressure onto the courts. We're definitely behind him. We know we've been following along with him. He's a member of ours for quite some time now, and we've been following along with what they're doing down there for quite some time. And yeah. And this is a huge case, not only for what they're doing to spearhead into the courts, but also nationally, because we're making this a federal case, and I'm sure they are going to do that too down there. As a matter of fact, he should be focusing in on the local court, but he should also focus in to take that to the district court and the federal court and the unified Florida common law grand jury should also take a hold of this and put it into the federal court. We will too, up here in New York and down in the federal court. And there's another case that's huge that plays right into what we're doing. The same problem, same situation. It's jury tampering, and it's huge. I mean, we got all the evidence we need in spades on this one. And that's with, I'm not sure if you're familiar with what's his name again? Gerard, Colonel...
Commander Walt.
Commander Walt, that's
Fitzpatrick,
it.
Walt
Fitzpatrick. So we're going to be doing his case also, and he's in jail right now. We're going to do a writ of habeas corpus for him, and we're going to do a writ of mandamus, but a writ of can't think of the name of it, but it's like a habeas corpus. So we're going to, with that pressure there on that case and the pressure down in Florida, and then we have another paper that we'll be filing, which will be filed in all 90 district courts across America and the federal level, that is, the pressure should be getting hotter and hotter. And we got a lot of other plans with other paperwork coming from every state of the union now, because now it's time to hit them from every direction. And so that's what we're going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what needs to be done right now. I will back Terry Trussell right to the hilt. I'll do anything and everything that I can possibly do to help him. I've got retired Army Colonel Harry Riley is the founder of the Patriots for America website. He is the originator and founder of Operation American Spring. And as you may or may not know, we went to Washington, D.C. last May with impeachment papers, and we handed out articles of impeachment to all 535 members of Congress. Not one single one of them responded to those articles of impeachment. Now, mm-hmm. we've got a lot of people I hate to say it, but I don't want to be on here slamming people, but even Glenn Beck went on.
Right, we don't want to bring up names because sometimes those people are stuck in, you know, in a corner here, and I don't know, and I see good work, and I see problems, but I see that all over, and sometimes we have poison in background, you know, bad background information.
That's what it was. I mean, we got a horrendous, in the Operation American Spring, we got a horrendous amount of negative publicity from people that were definitely afraid of us. They did not want us to succeed in impeaching Obama and this administration, and they did everything they could possibly do to stop us, and unfortunately, so far, they've kind of put us to a screeching halt. But we're not dead in the water.
Well, look at not at all. Look at the movement is in the court now. Take a look at what we're doing and consider joining forces and having your people come into this, because look at, only the people can save America. We got to take our courts back. So that's the key to this whole thing. And the word I was looking for before is a quowanto. That's what we're going to do, is a quowanto. And that's the highest form of a writ that can be done by the people, by the king. And it's a requirement or we won't even get into the details of that. People should learn more about the quowanto. But Bob Schultz with We the People, he went to and developed the Continental Congress. He worked his way all the way up. It took 8-10 years to work himself up to the United States Supreme Court and was unable to get into it. Because they blocked him everywhere they could. So he ended up doing the Continental Congress. And when the Continental Congress was done, it was done in 2009. In the spring of 2010, under ceremonial, with flags and all, in every single capital in America, every state capital and the capital of the United States, Washington, at the very same time, they entered the building under a ceremonial type access, you know, going into the building in ceremony, in a line with flags and everything, having the papers, serving it on every senator and every congressman and the governor. And the same thing, of course, of all the states and also in Washington concerning the will of the people. They drew up the papers, the Continental papers called, what was the name of those papers?
Articles of Freedom.
Articles of Freedom. And they commanded them, they laid out all the problems, and they commanded them to do the right thing and what to be done. And they ignored them, okay? That's an indictment on the whole system. We went to the courts in New York State, every single court, and they ultimately indicted themselves. They were totally corrupt. The judicial process of New York State has totally collapsed. It has failed. Now we're in the federal courts, and it seems that the same thing's happening there, too. And we are up on, we've sent Scalia a copy of the last two papers, and we let everybody know in red that we're sending Scalia a copy. And we're going to see what's happening. Is America still here or not? But only the people can save it. We need the numbers. We need the people behind us. We need the numbers to come upon these people and let them know we mean business. We want our country back. We're tired of all these tyrants who think they own us. We're not their cattle.
Well, if you get an opportunity, I wish you would tune in to the patriotsforamerica.ning.com. That and the operationamericanspring.org. I am the administrator for both of those websites, and we are pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing to bring all of my 10,000 members to the NLA.
Oh, we appreciate that. This is the way to go at this point, get the people in and then take control in their counties. We'll train them.
Yep. Now, we've got links on those websites for all 50 states. We've got those are...
You guys have a radio program or anything?
Well,
Or a call-in program?
No, we don't. We tried that a couple of times, particularly when we were up in D.C. in last May, and we've got a couple of really really good pastors that have joined Patriots for America probably 5 years ago. These websites are not new. Colonel Harry Riley operated Patriots for America website for the last 8 years. So this operation is not new. We've got a what they call the prayer squad, right? And they've been operating. We've got Pastor Bland. We've got another gentleman that calls himself the hitchhiking pastor. We've got several people in that organization that have their own radio programs, blog talk radios and stuff. But we don't. That's one of the things that we were not able to do, as far as bringing the Patriots for America and Operation American Spring into the forefront of people's recognitions. We and I'm gonna take about 80% of the blame for the failure for that onto myself for not being able to bring this thing out to the national public arena far enough. We need that recognition. Patriots for America and LA, we're all working in the same direction, and not.
All right, I guess I'm back online. I've unmuted everyone. Maybe anybody wants to talk, pick up the phone. I guess we lost a lot of people. Gerard was kicked out also. Am I coming through here now? Can anyone hear me?
Five by five, John.
Okay. I unmuted everyone. I don't know if you realize that. Everyone could have been talking, but Gerard, I think, is still trying to get in. I'm going to try to pull him in. Oh, Gerard, you're back in.
I just got in, yeah.
Yeah, even Shaken Mike was unable to get in. Yeah.
This is Frank in Los Angeles, and I hung up and called you back, so you lost your control of your cue as well.
Right, I lost everything, yeah, and Gerard was thrown out. Was anybody else able to talk?
No.
Okay, all right, well, anyway, we're about at the end, so we'll finish off. You have anything final to say?
Are you talking to me, John, Frank, in L.A.?
Yeah, you got anything?
Well, I was just very very impressed by tonight's show in general. I don't know if we're on air or not now, but I'm the Frank that talked to you before about a court that's available in the Los Angeles area.
Oh, yeah.
And I understand. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I remember. Go ahead.
I understand the spirit of trying to share a court with the members of the court, but I'm also curious as to what Gerard would think about being able to occupy a vacant court, which has been paid for many times over and belongs to the people, I'm sure. How you guys would go about that would be up to you, and I'm not going to mention any strategy.
There's no way that we could possibly do that. They definitely would try to eventually arrest us, and they call us quacks. They do all kinds of things. That, you look at the only way to do it is the way we're doing it. We've looked at this.
I didn't mean it as in occupy it illegally. I meant it as obtaining it in a legal fashion through legal means. It's vacant. There would be no conflicts for scheduling or anything of that nature.
Right.
But of course, you would need
the
to
problem,
fund it.
The problem is we have to have the servants that we've hired in the building, and we have to have them ultimately in every county across the nation. We need 3,133 of them. So, you know, there's no way to focus in on one building to try to take one county back and to try to go through some kind of legal process to try to move. I can't ever see it happening. It would be way too difficult to do, and it's just not the way to do it. Look at these buildings we have out there. We own them. The United States Supreme Court is crystal clear on the process. Once we file those papers, they have to go through the process. Now, they're removing these papers left and right. They're stopping in every way they can. Not on a federal level yet. That has not really happened yet, that to our knowledge, and we're going to hopefully know something by next week. But nevertheless, on every other level, they're removing our papers everywhere because they don't want them there. Because it shows their guilt. It shows it's RICO on steroids. It proves the point. We have to get into the building where when you call the sheriff down to talk to him, he understands who you are now. He knows who you are. There's no guesses about it, and he knows he's got to obey any of the orders that come down through the court. He also should know through the mandamus we're trying to set up that he will have to obey us for the arresting of any judge or any clerk that prevents us access. And that's what we're looking for the federal courts to sign the mandamus that we sent them, and in order for us to get access into the courts, of course, doing it peacefully. But once we get access into the courts, whether they like us or not, they can hate our guts. That's fine. They're still going to obey us, because once we get into courts, they will obey us. And there'll be a lot of people who'll be happy to see us, to be honest. I believe that.
Oh, I absolutely agree. Okay. Well, then I'll accept that if you believe that there's no way that we could get that even through the federal court, since it's a vacant court.
Yeah, I can't see it in any way. I mean, I wish, but I can't see it. So.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to toss it out there.
Okay, appreciate
good,
it.
Good show, I'll let you go because I know you're supposed to take a phone call right after the show, and we're probably right. Over hours now.
Yeah, we're going to end it right now. I'll probably, I'm not sure whether I'll go back and look at the silence. Maybe I'll erase the silence and for the recording because we were gone quite a while. I guess, what, 5 minutes or something? Ten minutes?
Yeah, something like that. And two people came onto my phone, and it was dead silent. But I had my gal listening to Shake and Wake, and they could hear you, but it had dropped the phone lines per se. So I
right.
called back, and I unmuted, and that's when I got you.
Right. Well, it's very curious, you know. Look at, you know, we've been plagued with problems like this. This was the first system set up that we haven't had this kind of a problem. We used to have problems in every place we went, any kind of a venue for having conference calls. Every one of them was distorted and a problem when we started moving into this system, what we're doing here with the grand juries. But this has been pretty good. Maybe they found a way to play with it, or maybe it's just coincidental. We had a very important, call going on at the time with that individual, what was that on, not a march on Washington. What exactly was that, Gerard?
American Spring.
Yeah, American Spring.
American Spring, yes.
Yeah, I heard him. He's the administrator for those
right.
two sites that he gave. And, yeah, that 10,000 alignment.
Yeah, let me tell you, if those people become aware of us and see what we're doing, exactly, if those people become aware of what we're doing and see what we're doing and understand that they can get power in their own counties and authority to put these people back in their place, it's going to be a landslide move just from that group alone. If those kind of people move in with us, and that would be huge, and that's something they don't want. I'm starting to see, look, we got the Oath Keepers behind us too. There's a lot of Oath Keepers with us, I go to Oath Keeper meetings. I don't go them too often because I don't have the time, but I go to them occasionally. I'm an Oath Keeper myself, and they're on board with us. They know what we're doing.
I will be in OC tomorrow for the meeting. They have a lady there that's dealing with election integrity. She'll be speaking in Huntington Beach tomorrow night.
Okay.
So,
all right, well,
I will
I'm
be there myself.
End this.
Thank you, John. I will
Thank
let
you,
you go.
Thank you. I'm going to end this for now. We're after midnight. Yeah?
Hey, it's Greg.
Yeah, Greg.
Yeah. I wanted to tell you real quick, after we got infiltrated Friday, I was able to jump on and take over Rod Class's call for a little while, and he's got a court hearing tomorrow, and they offered him a deal, and I think I don't think he's going to take it. I think he wants to take it to trial, but to make a long story short, I do look for affidavit. I do believe I got him, talked him into sending an affidavit. And I'm trying to get his people. These people are so clicky. You were saying we needed 13,000 people. You realize it only took 80,000 people to end Prohibition.
That's right.
So, it isn't, so it's like we need to get these groups that are we've got to find a way to bring these, I guess that's what coordinators would do. We got to bring
right.
people that are doing all these other things, and we've got to figure out how to merge them, you know?
Well, this is the key thing. Whatever they're doing, they should be doing. Oath keepers should continue being oath keepers. People doing whatever they're doing should continue doing what they're doing, but everyone should get involved with the grand jury and trying to get the grand jury, the common law, back in their county, and even taking the authority themselves to take the positions to bring this back to light. Because this is where the power is. This is the people thing. National Liberty Alliance is not necessarily a group. We're really facilitators. That's all National Liberty Alliance is. We facilitate a place for people to come and talk about what we're doing. We facilitate a place for people to have an education, to be re-educated in what the law really is. And that's what we are. We're nothing more than that. And we'll always be here for educational purposes and for advice and so on and so forth. Even when we get into the courts. But National Liberty Alliance is not a top-down organization. We're trying to empower all the people on the grassroots level. We're trying to empower everybody in the courts, all the people, because ultimately the four administrators will be constantly turning around juries and grand juries all the time. They'll be pulled out of a pool from the people within the county, and they'll be retrained in what the law really is. And we will get into the schools to retrain to train our children on how they should walk. So it may take a full generation to really get to where we really need to be. But nevertheless, we can do it very quickly once we get access into the court.
Look, I was going to ask you. You ever heard of that show, Coast to Coast AM?
Yeah.
Have you been on that?
No.
Well, I know George, but
never been invited.
Right. We've been on a lot of radio programs.
Here's the deal: since I've been with Keenan, and we do his posts. I mean, I'm the owner of his website. And I post on his posts. I've got about 300,000-400,000 groups, like-minded groups that I post across. And I just wanted to know if it was okay with you if I post our National Liberty Alliance homepage on across those groups.
Well, absolutely, yeah. And if you can get us into the radio, we'll go talk there.
Well,
tomorrow.
They actually edit the posts. And they accept my post now. So they know, everybody, you know, a lot of people know who I am. Maybe that's not a good thing. But,
right. Well, tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., I'm going to be on Uncommon Awareness Radio. And they're supposed to be nationwide. They're supposed to be pretty big. So we'll see what happens with that
one. Yeah, we've got my brothers. Now, this is Illinois. Not a big area. I mean, but actually own a couple of radio stations up there. And it might be the type of thing they've got one. It's all talk. We might, you know what I'm saying? And let me tell you something. Illinois is the source of all evil. That's where Obama came from.
Right.
And I was born and raised there, and I left. I got out of there as soon as I was old enough.
Someone else is trying to get in, too. Who else is trying to get in here?
Hey, John.
Hey, this is Johnny B. out of Kansas.
Yeah, Johnny B.
Yeah, I had a couple of people call me while we was going on early on, and they listen in on their cell phones.
Uh-huh.
So I know they're not using the flash phone. They're just coming in on the regular call-in line, and they both got kicked off. And
yeah, well, I guess the whole system maybe just went down. I'll find out from... HD tomorrow, I'll give them a call and see if they had a bleep in the system or to see if they can figure out what happened to us tonight.
Hey, John, can I call you after the show?
As long as it's going to be quick because I want to go to sleep. I got to get up at 7.
I got a suspicion of one of the callers. I wanted to share it with you.
Okay.
Hey, John, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Who's that?
Hey, Tanner from Oklahoma. I just wanted to say, hey, buddy, I didn't get an email for Friday's call. And I didn't get one. I got one about the problem with it, but I didn't get the email on when it was and any of that. So I just wanted to touch base with you.
Yeah, let me take a quick look and see once where that went to or what happened with that. Hang on a second. But I'll tell you what. Why don't we do this? Why don't you give me a call right after the program, I'll look for those two people, you and any other individual, to call me at 845-233-6560. With that, Rick, can you take us out and end our program? And we'll see everybody. We'll be back Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We'll be talking about the law. And we'll also be here on Saturday for Bible studies. But with that, I'm going to end the program, and I'll take the call as soon as our program's over.
You,
Rick,
John.
Can you take us out?
Sure will, John. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, good night, everybody. See you next Monday, 9 p.m., and like I said, Thursday and Saturday.